One, two, three, four.
Turn your lights down, way down low. But turn up that radio. It's Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Every night there's something new. You never know just what that do. Steve and Johnny.
Boy, have we got a full boatload tonight. Hi to Mart's Jim Peterick is joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Radloff is going to talk TV.
And it's computer night tonight.
And we have a surprise guest only moments away.
You know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
There used to be a TV game show, I believe it was on CBS, and they would have the guest sign in.
Yes.
I think what we'll do with our surprise guest, see, and they would have a blackboard, and the guest would sign in. We're going to ask our guest, rather than signing in, to spell his name for the assembled multitude. Guest, would you care to spell your name for us?
First name, Charlie. C-H-A... Oh, sorry. That's okay. Not what you meant, right? The last name, Charlie Roumeliotis. Roumeliotis.
And the X is silent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I told him off the air, I said, there was a time in radio when they would have looked at you and said, oh, no, man, you're Charlie Rome. That's too hard for... That would be the bosses making those decisions.
Yeah.
Yes. But you're a proud Greek boy.
I am, 100%.
From the area.
Yes, absolutely. Born and raised here. All four of my grandparents were born in Greece, and so then they migrated over here. And now I'm living it on with my last name.
Yeah.
And for anybody who doesn't know, we should explain that Charlie is the new host for Chicago Blackhawks pre and post game. And welcome to the Mighty 720.
Yes.
Thank you so much. This is an honor. I've listened to WGN Radio, the Chicago Blackhawks broadcast, as a kid. So to be able to listen as a fan... I listened to Judd Surratt when he was during the Dynasty era with the Blackhawks. And then Chris Bowden replaced Judd. And Chris, I worked with at NBC Sports Chicago, which was CSN Chicago at the time.
Right.
So he became a cool colleague of mine. And then Joe Brand became a very close friend of mine in the industry. I am so thrilled for him and his endeavor.
It's so great when a nice guy gets a terrific break like he got.
Yeah, Joe, you will not find a nicer person.
Absolutely
in the
right.
Than Joe.
Yep. Yeah. And so, he's gone to the Penguins.
Yep. Radio play-by-play guy for the Pittsburgh Penguins. That's an amazing gig. So to be able to follow in their shoes is very, very big, but it's a huge honor for me.
I want to take you in a different direction for a second.
Sure.
Sadly, the place that you've been hanging out for a long time ain't going to be no more as of October 1. And we've been big fans. We've in spite of the season, we've been watching just about every White Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a whole new, it's kind of a corporate thing where they're just kind of moving the Blackhawks and the Sox and the Bulls to a different platform, and that all starts Monday?
Correct, yeah. So the Chicago Sports Network is launching on October 1st. So the Blackhawks, Bulls, White Sox are all going to that network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little bittersweet for me because NBC Sports Chicago is literally the only place I've worked at. So I started there as an intern in 2013 and then ended up getting a job with them. It was like my senior year of college in 2014 and then just slowly worked my way up.
Look at
and
you.
So now, yeah, I'm happy to be at WGN Radio, but it's like, man, that's the only thing I've ever known. So it's going to be a strange feeling, but I'm already pumped to be here.
And I guess because we have DirecTV, we will have this new platform so we can continue to see the Blackhawks.
Yeah, I was looking at the NBC Sports Chicago, and as of Monday, they say, oops, channel no longer available. So right. I don't know where they're going to position it. But yeah, apparently DirecTV. And I think they're trying to work out what they call carriage with other providers.
Services, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, it's way above my head.
It's above your pay grade, yes. Right?
When did you decide this is kind of what you wanted to do?
So it's funny. When I started in college, my freshman year, I actually started in radio. Like one of my first weeks in college, I went to the radio station. And I said, hey, I would love to have my own sports talk radio show. Mm-hmm. And I went to Elmhurst University. So for context, it's a smaller Division III school. So it's not like going to Northwestern or whatever where you're competing with a lot of other people that mm-hmm. are going in the same industry. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was like, hey, I'd love to have my own sports talk radio show. And they said, sure, pick a time slot. It was that easy. So I'm like, okay, great. So
and what time were you on?
So I did a late one. It was from 10 to midnight. So similar to you guys here.
Interesting.
Yep. So I resonate with the late one. And then it wasn't until my junior year of college where I was like, I should probably explore writing for the school newspaper and like mm-hmm. cover the sports teams there. And so that's when it was my senior year. I was a sports writer, then senior year I became the sports editor of the paper and columnist. And so then when I interned at NBC Sports Chicago, I was just a writer, so I just kind of grew in that industry. But in some way, like doing this, coming back to radio is like getting back to my roots, because this is like where I started. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I'm really excited about it.
How early in your life was it that you decided you kind of wanted to make some involvement with sports what you did for your life?
Very early. When I figured out that I wasn't going to be, I wasn't skilled enough to play a sport, I knew I wanted to do it in some way. Like I wanted to be involved in the media, but I didn't know that. So I knew I wanted to be in sports. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was going to be. Did I want to be a play-by-play guy? Did I want to be a writer? A radio host, a TV anchor, that kind of crystallized over time, like in college. And then over the last 10 years, it's, you know, doing TV at NBC Sports Chicago. I love doing TV. Mm-hmm. I've actually grown to love radio and TV more than writing, because mm-hmm. writing, I was never really a naturally gifted writer. I just kind of worked at it. Mm-hmm. So that's when, and then I was like, okay, play-by-play, I definitely don't have the voice or the skills to do that. So I kind of eliminated that from my arsenal. But yeah, so it kind of just started to hone in on TV and radio. And
you got the voice for it. Yeah. I bet you'd be good at play-by-play.
I don't know if I have the vocabulary and the, especially hockey.
Hockey yes.
is really yes.
tough. Now, see, we go back
sport.
To the days at WIND with Pat Hughes.
Yeah.
Not Pat
Foley.
Foley, yes. Yeah. Because they carried the Blackhawks at that time.
Yes.
And he would talk. And yet when we would interview him, it would be a different animal completely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's my main sport. Hockey is like, you know, that was a sport I loved as a kid. Grew up watching the Blackhawks. So for me, I'm like, I definitely do not have the skills to be a hockey play-by-play guy. So if I was to go down that route, it'd have to be an entirely different sport. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that would have been a passion of mine. So that's why I settled into, not settled, but like where I am today.
Yeah, yeah.
Who did you listen to when you, who did you borrow from?
Yeah, I mean, man. I mean, I grew up listening to Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk, and then I was able to work with them at NBC Sports Chicago, and now I get the opportunity to work with John Weideman and Troy Murray, who they've been on Blackhawks radio since 2006 together. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's like the heart of when I was listening to Blackhawks games. So I know it sounds cliche that I'm singling them out, but it's really those were the Pat Foley, Eddie Olczyk, mm-hmm. Troy Murray, John Weideman. I mean, those are the four. And then Judd Surratt was, he was a guy that was like synonymous with those Stanley Cup runs, because I listened to him after each Blackhawks game I was at. I'm like, got to fire up the Blackhawks postgame show to listen to Judd.
And our listeners can hear Charlie. Now, this will start on Tuesday, because there's a game on Tuesday.
Game on Tuesday.
October 1st. Yeah, pre and post game.
Yep.
You're going to be filling probably a lot of time, too, because...
And as we told you off the air... when there's a game going on, and if it's running long, and it's a Saturday night, and we're coming in, we're here till Tuesday. Never rush for till Tuesday, till Tuesday or 2 a.m. Sometimes it feels like Tuesday. But never rush for us. Always take your time.
We're going to take a quick break. Want to come back with Charlie, because there's a little fun factor, too, that we need to share with the audience here on WGN.
WGN Radio. Now, where have I ever heard that before? Let me think.
Made Charlie happy. So good call, Julian. Yeah. Good call. Yes, Charlie Romiliotis.
Yeah.
Ooh, yay.
You got it.
I've been practicing.
Let's go.
He's with us in studio. You're going to hear him pre and post game with all of the Blackhawks hockey games this season. Now, this was an opportunity for us to pull him into the studio so we could get to know Charlie. By the way, you look much younger than your pictures do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Maybe it's the suit and tie.
I did cut my hair, so okay. I feel like the long hair adds about 5 years on my life. So
to answer the question, Charlie, we understand, is not married. That was a question that came in a text. But a fun fact about you, you are a triplet.
I am. Identical twin brother. So if I showed you a picture of me and my brother when we were kids... You would not be able to tell.
Does he have a beard now?
Yeah, we both have beards.
Really?
He has more of a thinned out beard. Mine's a little bit thicker. That's just personal choice. If I thinned out my beard and we both cut our hair to the same, it would be very difficult.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So your sister would be the fraternal part of your...
And does not have a beard.
Correct. Does not have a beard.
Give her time.
But I have to ask you. Do the three of you do what I've heard the twins or triplets occasionally do? When something's going on, you kind of get a sense that something's happening with one of the other ones?
So we don't get that like telepathy. But my brother and I, there have been so many instances where we'll be in the same room and we maybe see something and we just look at each other and I know exactly what he's thinking. And he knows exactly what I'm thinking. Like, we just communicated telepathically. Like, you saw that? Yep. Like, we're thinking the same thing. Yeah. So that happens.
Kind of like us, Steve, after 40 years.
Exactly.
You know, I look at your face and I know I just did something really bad.
Yeah. But it's not like a, like, how to explain it? Like a voodoo doll where it's like he feels something and I'm like, oh man, something feels off because my brother is, something feels off with him. But
now, were you in the same classes in school?
Yep. Yeah. We were in the same classes. And all three of us went to the same college.
Really?
Yeah. So my brother committed to Elmhurst first. My sister...
Is he the older of the three of you?
He's actually the youngest. So it's my sister, then a minute later is me, and then a minute later
is
my brother. Yeah.
So what are their names?
My brother's name is Paul, and sister is Felicia.
Okay, fess up. Did you and your brother ever switch classes?
We did once in high school. And... It was one of those, so we both had the same class, religion and gym class. He had it he had religion first period, I had religion eighth period. And then he had eighth period his gym class, and mine was like fifth period or whatever. But he had hurt his wrist. And so he couldn't participate in gym. And so when he had his religion class first period, he's like, "Hey, we have a substitute teacher today, and all we're doing is watching a movie." So I was like, "Great!" I was like,
"I'll do that."
How about you do that again, and I'll go to gym class for the second straight day. And the cool thing about it was, the substitute teacher for the eighth period religion class actually turned out to be the other gym teacher, and we're very we were very close with them. Uh-huh. Shout out Jaws and Voss. And so at the end of it, so like I went to gym class eighth period, just like didn't say anything, just uh-huh. to see if they would like notice. At the very end, I told the gym teacher, I was like, hey, by the way. And
really?
He's like, get out of here. So like they were totally cool about it. But that was like our one rebellious moment in high school.
Okay, what does Felicia do for a living?
So Felicia was a graphic designer. She actually was a graphic designer for Portillo's, which was cool. And then also the Francesca's Davanti food group.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And Paul?
But now my brother Paul works for Travis Matthew. The new, it's like golf clothing.
Yeah.
He worked at Microsoft. He actually worked with me at NBC Sports Chicago. Can I share a quick story?
Sure.
I actually would not be here today without my brother because he was the one that applied to be an intern at NBC Sports Chicago first. And I didn't think I was qualified enough yet. But he was like, I'm going to apply anyway. And so he applied. He heard back like almost immediately, like, hey, can you come in next week for an interview? And I was like, whoa. I was like, I got to apply now. So I ended up applying, heard back, and both of us got hired as interns.
Oh.
But I always credit my brother because I was like, if he didn't apply,
yeah,
I feel like I wouldn't have applied on my own. And I maybe am not sitting here today. No, I'm definitely not sitting here today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
How cool.
Yeah. I love that you are, I guess I looked up the odds of having triplets. Last year, it was one out of 6,889 births.
Wow.
Yeah.
God bless my mom.
Amen. Yes. Any other brothers and sisters?
Nope.
Just the three of you.
My parents wanted two kids. They got three all at once, and they're like, we're done. We're done.
Charlie, it's been a few years, sir.
Uh-oh.
That's Gabe in the newsroom.
Gabe, that's right.
Yeah.
Gabe would be at Blackhawks games, and I haven't seen Gabe in a while, but I'm looking forward to see mm-hmm. I see you in the news station.
This was before the pandemic. I was covering the Hawks for another local station, and Charlie and I used to talk before every game. And good to see that you're still covering the Hawks. I certainly miss the second intermission food.
Me too. You and me both. They got rid of it after COVID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just because there weren't as many media members, and then I'm sure financial reasons too.
Yeah.
But
right.
Gabe, I miss you around, man. It's good to be teammates again, though.
Definitely.
Well, Gabe is in here early tonight, filling in for Ron.
Right.
And I said I knew that Ron wasn't working tonight because I saw a picture of his son sampling some new alcoholic beverage. And I figured Ron wouldn't be driving the radio station if that was the case.
So, Gabe, you're in for Ron. Who's playing the part of you after midnight?
I'm here the whole night.
You are?
I'm pulling the double duty tonight.
All right.
Good man. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Charlie, Tuesday's a big day for you.
Yep.
I'm so tickled that we could pull you in here because you know what's going to happen on Monday and Tuesday. Everybody's going to want a piece of Charlie.
Yeah.
So they want to talk about you. So now we know some fun facts about you.
Love it.
It's so cool to see you because we'll see you on Saturday nights. Because I guess in October, November, we got a lot of Saturday night games and in December, none. Which is weird. Mm. And some of them are even late games where we don't get on to like 12:30 in the morning.
And we should mention you won't see us next week, and we're not sure about the following weeks because we're going to be down in Florida. We're taking the show on the road for the next week or so.
But we'll do the show from Florida.
Perfect.
We have a great...
I'll listen on my way home then.
We got a great situation in Florida where we use the college radio station, and it is top notch. I mean, it wasn't like that when I was going to radio. Let me tell you, all the kids have 22-inch Apple screens in front of them, and they all want to do a podcast. Yep. All of the students are like, I just want to do a podcast, because they don't have a WGN. They didn't grow up listening to this kind of radio.
So we've been consulting. This is one of the radio stations we consult with.
So they turn the lights on Saturday night and give us... the use of the studio, which is pretty cool.
Love that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor to meet both of you. Everyone here has been so incredible. And I'm looking forward to being teammates, and I will absolutely come by anytime you guys want to pull me away.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Awesome. Good to meet you guys.
More coming up to WGN.
sprayed with a hose. It ain't bad in the day if they squirt it your way, except in the winter when it's froze. And it's hard if it hits on your nose.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
I know this voice.
I do, too, and I know the song. That's one of Julian's dealer's choices. Julian, who and what is that?
Wow, I stumped you guys.
Yeah.
Uncle Remus by Frank Zappa.
Oh, of course. Jeez. Yes.
Because I'm looking at you like, I know this voice.
But Zappa was using a little different.
Yeah. And I'm going to put money on the fact that that has never been played on WGN Radio.
I think you're probably correct.
Oh, yay, Julian.
Nice one, Julian.
Thank you.
By the way, we want to address, first of all, thank you, Charlie, for coming in and hanging out with us. What a cool guy. I'm looking forward to hearing lots of him.
Very lucky to have him.
Also, we want to address, a lot of you have been nice enough to ask about our little yellow house down in Panama City Beach. The short story is, our part of Florida really didn't get a whole lot. I mean, we got some rain. And by the way, we're still in Chicago this week. We'll be in Florida next week. But our part of the Gulf Coast got some rain, some wind, and the farther east you got, then it got really nasty.
Perry, Florida, they were in the eye of the storm.
Yeah.
And that's 152 miles from us. And there was that buildup. For all of you who contacted us, you were reaching out to us because initially it looked like it was coming right for Panama City and Panama City Beach.
Yep.
We're separated by a big bridge, Panama City and Panama City Beach, two separate towns.
But then the storm took a more easterly turn, and it came in what's called the Big Bend of Florida. And the panhandle is the more westerly northern Florida part. Then immediately to the right of that is what is called the Big Bend area. That's where Helene came in.
And Helene was so big and so bad that it looks like they're going to retire the name because it was so bad. There had been a Helene in 1958, ironically, on the very same day as Helene made landfall in the U.S. this time.
And one of the many tragic things about Helene is the damage it's doing after initial impact, because this storm, most hurricanes, they hit, and as they get farther inland, they start to dissipate. That hasn't been the case because of the winds and the downed trees and the flooding. And we were talking about our former program director, Mary June Rose, who lives in North Carolina.
Right. She lives in Gastonia and often vacationed in a town that no longer exists. It is gone. Chimney Rock, North Carolina. And it was a tourist destination. Absolutely gorgeous. I'm looking at the before and after pictures. And we saw a lot of devastation after Michael 5 years ago. I cannot believe this town is gone, just washed away.
And multiple times I've seen videos of houses being blown off their foundations and floating down what is now this river.
Yeah.
Just.
And some of the old timers who've lived through dozens of hurricanes are saying that they've never seen a hurricane like this when it makes a landfall category 4 with these unbelievable winds. But to do all that damage once it travels across the country and up the coast and just devastation as it went along is just, I don't know why, but because we know our concern has been that the Gulf water has been so warm.
Right.
We thought, oh, if we can just get by this season.
And that played a big role in how this storm ramped up.
And ironically.
And also, my brother Lee is right now down in Cancun, and we were concerned about him because he got to Cancun
on Tuesday,
the beginning of the week, just as the storm was starting to hit, and it didn't do a whole lot of damage down there.
It was a tropical storm when it came on shore, and then it just kind of, as I understand it, it went quickly over Cancun, kept moving to the east, and then ended up across the Gulf of Mexico. And we were supposed to be in Florida last week. Monday, we have our tickets, and this was probably a good 48 hours before we were really focusing on the storm, that we decided I'm just not up to sitting on a plane. My back is, thankfully it's improving, but I just wasn't able to sit on a plane for a couple of hours and to wander across and dragging my luggage with me across another airport. So we rebooked for this Monday, a week later, and could not believe how fortunate we were that we were not there, because our neighbors evacuated. They lived through Michael, and they said, we're not sticking around for this one. Yeah. This is too scary. I got a little PTSD. That's what a couple of our neighbors said, and I don't want to do this again.
Well, and a lot of people were leaving, even though our part of Florida didn't get the brunt of it. But because people in our part of Florida, remember, Michael was a last-minute turn.
Yep.
All the predictions are just that, predictions. They don't give you the definitive last minute, oops, this thing is turning right, it's turning left, it's turning whatever. That's why a lot of people in our part of Florida evacuated, and they're coming back right now. And one of the things that is wonderful, the people that have lived through Michael, their houses in our part of Florida are okay. They're banding together to do what they can to get supplies to the areas where people have now been devastated.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. But again, as you say, there's a kind of a PTSD. Once you've been through that kind of a thing, it stays with you.
I was in contact with a number of friends that, I'm not going to say I have PTSD, but I was very, very anxious because we lived through those days when my dad rode out Hurricane Michael and couldn't get a hold of him, and I was terrified, and I knew
that he had to drive miles to find a place where he could get cell phone service.
Right. And without power, without water, and all of those things, and we couldn't fly down there to find out where he was and what was going on. So I kind of relived that anxiety that we experienced, not the same as actually living through a hurricane where you're holding on to your toilet, and as you hear your roof ripping off, and a number of our friends experienced that. So bottom line is, we were incredibly lucky in the panhandle of Florida.
And but please, think some good thoughts, pray, but whatever positive thing you can do for the people in Carolina and some of the other areas that have been devastated by this. And I'm trying to think, where was the site? Somebody put up, I believe it was a Facebook link, where you can look and see if this is a viable thing for you to contribute to, if you want to do something to help some of the people that have been impacted by. Because there are, sadly, anytime this kind of thing happens, there are a whole lot of scammers that come out of the woods, so you want to be careful, and yet you want to do something to help the people who need it right now.
Absolutely. But again, thank you all for your support for the past week. You've been contacting us, and then tonight when we came in on our text line, we had a number of texts from great people. 312-981-7200 is the number that you can get to us throughout the show. And in fact, we were telling Charlie about that. We said, now be prepared. We have a very active audience. When they've got their phone in their hand, if they got something to say, they're going to tell you about it. And now they can do that via text. We are going to come right back here on WGN. Stay with us.
You make me want to shout, throw my hands up, shout, kick my heels up, shout, throw my head back, shout, come on now, don't forget to say you shout, don't forget to say
say you will,
sing right now, baby,
say you will,
come on,
say you will,
say
say you will,
baby, won't you say that you love me.
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
I think young Julian has done it again. He stumped us both.
Yeah.
Two times in a half hour.
It has a kind of a country feel to it. I'm not sure who that is. Julian, who is that?
The Fabulous Deltones.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Huh.
That they're kind of a, if it's a group I'm thinking of, they're kind of a sort of alternative slash country 50-ish rock group.
Yeah. That's what my research was giving me.
Okay, all right.
So it's time now for a quick little shout out. And I should mention, too, that we, in fact, took Lakeshore Drive into the studios tonight.
Yes.
And if you have to travel on Lakeshore Drive from the north side, traveling into downtown, the left lane is closed. The left center lane is graded. And the bumps on either side of every bridge on the drive will rattle your teeth. I mean, it is dangerously difficult to...
I would love to talk to one of the contractors and find out why the heck wasn't it possible to do something? I mean, those bridges have been there forever. They will be there forever.
They don't raise those bridges.
So why couldn't you make it a little smoother as you're hitting one of those
things?
They
use chunky peanut butter, not the smooth peanut butter.
Yeah, real chunky peanut butter.
But the part that has been resurfaced is frighteningly quiet and smooth. And I said,
yeah.
I wonder if this is going to be slick when it rains because it looks so shiny. And anyway, we took the drive, so I took some pictures. So you've got your picture of the Drake Hotel, my favorite picture that I have to take every Saturday. So you can see those pictures on our Facebook page at thestevenjohnnyshow.com.
And that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And
yes.
If I can, very quickly, as long as I'm giving out addresses, facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. Our blog is stevenjohnny.wordpress.com. And go to YouTube.com/Steve and Johnny Show and take a look at some of the videos. I believe Muriel Anderson's Vincent is approaching about 30,000 hits just within the past week. And
yeah.
Tommy Emmanuel is over 130,000. I mean, there's some real good videos that Julian has been nice enough to do while he's juggling all the other things he does as a producer. So check out our YouTube channel.
And time now for our shout-outs. Paducah, Kentucky is checking in to tell us that they've been inundated for nearly 2 days with a lot of flooding. And I guess I didn't even think about Kentucky. I think about that so far away from the actual track of the storm. East Tennessee checking in saying they've had just an enormous amount of rain.
And I think the Nashville
flooding
area, too.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Gosh. So a quick shout-out. And I got... Look what I did. Tonight I wrote it on a piece of paper so I could rattle them off quickly. And I'm going to start with Chuck Snitchler because Chuck, God bless you, Chuck. You are the best friend of this radio station. And Chuck put up his Halloween tree today. And you know I love that. If I am responsible for anyone getting a Halloween tree, it makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a cute Halloween tree up. And I should mention that Chuck is one of the admin for the WGN Radio and TV news, information, past and present. You can find them on Facebook, and you can join the group. And he and Diane Peterson keep the group very active and keep you up to date on everything that's going on this radio station as well as WGN-TV. So thank you, Chuck, for tuning in tonight. Mindy Schwab is listening, and Jan Richardson and Elizabeth Roth, who's in Indiana, and Lester Clyden is our trucking buddy. Sharon Malone is in K-Town. Stephen Verheeren is listening. Donna Youngheim is in Oak Lawn. And Danny Tyler, my buddy from high school, is in Northeast Ohio. Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. And Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida, listening tonight. Susan Schemmels in Glen Ellen. Diana Capus and Janet Curitobe. Mary Gold is in Amboy. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Beverly Goodall in Highwood, Illinois. Ellen Maria is in McHenry County. Brian Lefevre in Bridgeport. Sandy McCumas is in Michigan City, Indiana. Larry Davis and Catherine Lissick, she's in Naperville. Bonnie Nelson, Bobby Danos, our friend in Sandwich, is tuned in tonight. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Scott Cooper is listening in Naperville, and John Couture is in Warren, Michigan. Priscilla Gilbert Stegg, Joliet. Peter Jacobowitz is in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. Barbara Barrett, Lake Zurich. Rita Reggie, Fort Worth, Texas. Christina Failing in Plainfield. Judy B is in Oak Lawn, decorating for Halloween. Thank you, Judy. David says Wojcikowski. I did practice that too. I'm sorry, David. Richard Wade is in Troy, Missouri. Helen Thomas in Kenosha. Jan Repath in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Patrice Tintero is in Northwest Indiana. Skip Buchinski is in Morton Grove. Nancy Taffy in West Allis. Jan Reinhardt. Eric Baum is in Wells Beach, Maine, sending us another lovely picture.
I love that picture. It's a picture of
egrets.
A great egret and a great blue heron. It's a terrific picture.
Beautiful picture. Bill Christensen is in Springdale, Arkansas. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview. Janine Fortin is in Cary, Illinois. And Susan Powell is in Memphis.
Memphis. Thank you very much.
Celine Ellers is listening in Chicago. Patricia Zahora and Peggy Wilkin tuned in. Jill McCarran. John Haynes is in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Bonnie Pearson is listening. Bill is in Hobart, Indiana. And let's see here. It's a couple of them signed in. Don is in Portage, Michigan. And Jermaine Moore is in Darien, Illinois. And Jim is in Wisconsin. And Sherry Hanrahan is in Romeoville. Mark is in Aurora. I think I got everybody this week. I always try to. If I missed you this week, I'll catch you next week. We like to find out where everybody's listening. And tonight we have 13 states that are tuned in.
Cool.
And if we add Illinois, make that 14 states.
Well, we're getting out to Illinois.
We are getting out. Golly. Oh, I got to say Stacy in Algonquin. I just saw that at 312-981-7200. Thank you, Stacy, for tuning in.
And we should mention that next week, we're taking you on the road with us. Next week, we're going to be coming to you from the studios of WKGC-FM high atop the Charles Hilton Center for Advanced Technology and Hospitality Management at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. And we'll be down there next week. And just watch this space, because we're going down to the Panhandle. There's some things we have to take care of. And we're going to be down there for at least a week. It may be a little longer, but just watch the space, and we'll let you know how long we're going to be down there and what's going to be going. Oh, I should mention that next week, since we'll be into October and since we're going to be in the Panhandle, one of the things we're going to be doing next week is we're going to be talking to a local author from the Panama City Beach area. Her name is Caitlin Jones, and she has written a book called Haunted Florida Panhandle.
And because it's October, that's when we pull out all the stops for the Halloween-y stuff.
So each week during October, we'll be doing some Halloween-themed thing.
We will do our poem that we do every year. We've been doing for probably 40 years, where you can either play us performing the poem, or you can read it to the kids, and we tell you how you can make this a fun sensory experience for them. And just when you think the kids have seen everything and they're jaded, if you pull this off, you can really, really have fun with the kids.
And we will also, by request, we will be again this year playing one of the last interviews that were done with Chicago's ghost hunter, Richard Crow.
That's right. Yeah.
Richard used to always join us sometimes on Halloween night and regale us with some wonderfully scary stories. And we'll play what I think may have been his last radio interview.
Yeah. And one Saturday night, we'll have Don Romano in here to play some wacky Halloween tunes for us, because he collects this stuff, and he says he's got some goodies that you've probably never, ever heard before. We've got multiples checking in at 312-981-7200. JP says, I'm a twin, and we do everything in sync. Same shoes, we call at the same time, and our voices are the same.
Okay.
Yeah, we were talking multiples because Charlie, the new voice of the Blackhawks pre- and post-game show, is a triplet. And so we got to know Charlie a little bit. So people are checking in saying, well, I'm a fraternal twin and we don't do anything the same. We are like night and day. We're so different.
But it's fascinating how many stories we've heard of people who are twins or triplets. And if something, they can be miles apart. And if something is going on with one of them, the other one will get a feeling, something's happening, so they want to contact each other.
Speaking of miles apart, Lynn is checking in from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Well, cool.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. We appreciate that.
Stranger in the black sedan, I want you to hop inside my car. I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you want to go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you, love you. I need you,
need you.
I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
One of the best songs ever, ever in the history of music. I love that song.
And that's one of those songs that no matter how many times we've heard it, I have to crank it up to the threshold of pain every time I hear it.
And I love it with my headphones on, too, because I'm like, yes, that's Jim Peterik. And Jim is with us on the line tonight because he's got so many things going on. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Steve and Johnny. Johnny and Steve. Yeah, it was great to hear that song again. I was 18 when I sang that song. I was trying to be Ray Charles. Not succeeding, but...
Come on.
Close.
You had a really, you still have a really big voice. You had a big voice for an 18-year-old. Come on.
Well, yeah, you know, that was just like a miracle. That was one of the high points of my entire life. I've had hits since then, but, you know, it's that first big one that really gets you.
Okay, just for grins, have you ever tried to figure out how many times you have performed that song?
4,982.
Easily.
I'm so lying, but you asked me, so I made something up.
Hey, I'm not going to argue.
Well, do you remember the first time you heard it on the radio?
Oh, my God. Going down I-55. The night before the Eyes did a show, and we were at Salerno's Pizza, which was our jam. You know, we loved that place. And that guy at the bar says, hey, I just heard your song on the radio. And yeah, right, whatever, you know. So the next morning, I'm cruising on I-55, and new from the Eyes of Mars. I think it was Art Roberts. No, it was a morning show, so it could have been Art Roberts. But anyway, new by the Eyes of Mars vehicle, and man, ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba, and I floor that thing. I'm going down like 90 miles an hour down I-55. I was so excited.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's one of the things we've never figured out, and we've talked with people from Consumer Guide, Automotive, but we've never been able to figure out. There are some songs, and Vehicle is right at the top of the list. Anytime you are driving and that song starts playing, it automatically adds about 10 to 20 miles to your speedometer.
Absolutely.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
You know, I tried to talk my way out of a ticket with that argument. It didn't work.
Well, the Ides are still going strong, the Ides of March. We're going to talk a little bit about a concert that you've got coming up with them. But, Jim, you have to be the hardest working guy around. Did you ever think in your 70s that you would be working as much as you are these days?
You know, you never plan. You know, when we were in high school, it was just a gig at a time and trying to attract the cheerleaders, and we did that. But I'll tell you what, you know, you really can't predict how long it's going to last. And I just feel so blessed. I'll be turning 74 November 11th.
You're a kid.
Ding, 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 ding. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I just feel as young as I ever did, because music keeps you young. It really does.
Absolutely.
Boy, does it.
Yeah. Les Paul used to tell us that's why he worked every Monday night at the clubs in New York, because he says it keeps me alive. It keeps me wanting to get up in the morning because I got that gig coming up on Monday nights.
But one of the things that you do, and I love this, and I would imagine it helps to energize you, you're constantly reinventing yourself and constantly doing new things. And I have to mention, this coming Wednesday, what a cool show, one of your world stage show, along with David Peck of Ambrosia, Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters, Toby Hitchcock from Pride of Lions. Tell us where this is going to be and how people can get tickets.
Well, and of course, Colin Peterick, I know him
right.
Well.
Yes.
And a surprise guest who I can't announce today. But, you know, it's going to be an amazing show. And you get tickets at thesplainstheater.com. And just, you know, the Display Theater is wonderful. It's one of Ron Onesti's clubs. It's really my favorite of his theaters. Yeah, the acoustics are perfect. It's a little bigger than his one in St. Charles, mm-hmm. and it's a great room. So we just can't wait to rock him. And David Peck, I mean, he could sing the phone book, that guy. And what a super nice, all the nice people that I'm working with, Ray Parker Jr., Ghostbusters, you know, just, I mean, ridiculous amount. Toby Hitchcock, he's got the voice from God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that, you know, of course, Jimmy Jameson was my hero, and, you know, as a part of Survivor, that voice inspired so many songs in me. And when he passed away, very much too young, Toby Hitchcock became that inspirational voice for my songwriting, mm-hmm. and he's going to kill it on Wednesday night, too.
I remember when we had Toby in studio, when you first started working with him.
We were blown away.
And I think we had to put him out in engineering because his voice was so big. It's like he was a stadium rocker.
He didn't need a microphone.
He didn't. I mean, he's got an amazing voice. But how did Ray Parker and David Peck become part of World Stage?
Well, that goes back a few years. And really, it was through Mindy Hebert, who was working with Ray Parker Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with David Peck for, you know, like 20 years, writing songs with him. And he's, you know, there's a thread that goes through all the artists. It's just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Colin Peterick, yeah, I've known him for a few years. And he's just a gem. And, of course, I'm the proud papa, but he is really, really something else.
He made you a grandpa, too. We should mention that.
Maisie and Colby.
Yeah.
Two of the greatest kids I know. Yeah.
This show on Wednesday, and again, this is at the Desplaines Theater, and I'm glad to hear you say good things about the theater, because I've seen pictures of the theater, and I think it's beautiful, and I'm really, really happy that Ron has done that to save the Arcata and the Desplaines Theater.
Ron has done so much to help live local entertainers have wonderful places to perform.
Yeah. As you say, with great sight lines, it's a comfortable venue, and you also have great sound on top of everything. But then a couple days later, Jim, aren't you going to be in Seattle doing a gig at the Jazz Alley?
Yeah, you know, on the 7th, we're going to be at Jazz Alley. And that's, you know, we're going to be premiering the Cancer Fight Song on Wednesday, but the main goal is with Michelle Abrams. She's behind the whole, you know, fight back with. It's called The Fight of Your Life. That's the name of the song, and it's for the Cancer Foundation. And you know, we're playing a theater in Seattle, which we've played before, and it's just a magical place. Hopefully, raise a ton of money for cancer.
So is that through the sales of the song or at the concert where you perform it? Or,
you know, donations, you know, I mean, yeah, people show up and it's like, you know, one of those things where the ticket is enormously expensive, but it really it's more than that. It's it's all a donation.
And who hasn't been touched by some cancer, by someone in their family? I mean, it's...
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for writing the song. That's very cool.
Well, it's touched us all. You know, my mother survived it, but mm-hmm. I remember, you know, the angst I heard from the bedroom mm-hmm. when she was crying, and well, it was just very traumatic as an 8-year-old hearing this going on in the bedroom, mm-hmm. and found out my mother had breast cancer, mm-hmm. and had a double mastectomy, and survived it. So, but it was very traumatic, and cancer touches all of us one way or another.
Yeah. Jim, we have to take a quick break. Can you hang in there for us? And we'll come right back.
Oh, cool.
And when we come back, I want to delve into a little bit of it. We talk about world stage, and world stage is kind of this constantly evolving collection of talented people that you choose to work with, and you put out new albums. And the newest album is Roots and Shoots Volume 2. And when we come back, I'm going to play my favorite cut from that album, and I want you to tell us a little bit about it.
All right, Steve. Very cool.
Stay with us at WGN. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with Jim Peterick. Yes, Jim Peterick, the survivor from the Ides of March, who will be appearing up in Des Plaines this Wednesday. One of his many projects is World Stage, and that's something where Jim works with different people and goes in different directions. And the latest album is Roots and Shoots Volume 2. And I love this track, Hit of Freedom, by Jim and Sophia Sheth. Jim, tell us about that. Who's Sophia? What do we need to know? That's a great track, one of many on that album.
I am so glad you played that. Sophia is so dear to me. She's 12. Well, she was 12 years old when she sang that.
What?
No.
Yeah. Now she's 13. You know, she's
what?
A teenager now. Yeah.
Oh, golly.
And she's cute as a button. He was Sophia was working with Colin at the Jam Lab, you know, his studio, and mm-hmm. said, "Dad, you've got to hear this 12-year-old." I go, and I didn't poo-poo it, because if Colin says this person is good, I believe him. And she came over to the house, and I had just written "Take a Hit of Freedom." Well, I didn't write it for her; I just wrote it as a song. But as soon as I heard her voice, I said, "She's the girl that has to sing." Take a hit of freedom. You know, and Colin was in the studio with me and Sophia, so it was kind of a collaborative effort, but it blows people's mind that she's 13.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I have to ask you, Jim, we're going to be out of town for a couple of weeks. When we get back, can we work it somehow so we could get Sophia in the studio with you some night?
Absolutely. I know she'd love it. I would love it. And she's very, well.
13 years old.
She, I mean, yeah. I mean, she's far beyond her years.
She's an old soul is what you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. But I'm thinking about you giving her an opportunity to really start living her dream. It makes me think about your experience with Kathy Richardson, your experience with Leslie Hunt,
mm-hmm.
just a couple of women that your life kind of collided with theirs, and just great things happened for them. You should sit down sometime and do the six degrees of separation from Jim Peterik.
Oh, man. It would be a big book.
It would be, yeah. It would be a big tree. Yeah.
I'm really blessed. And you didn't even mention a few, you know, that loom large in my female category. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, you know, now she's Cher, you know, Lisa McLowry.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I love her, and she was on my Roots and Shoots Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny. I mean, she is Cher.
And
she has found so much success with that, and she's so good at it.
Well, you mentioned Roots and Shoots. Let's, for a second, tell us the concept about Roots and Shoots. On one hand, you're taking some kind of roots artists, but what is the concept behind Roots and Shoots?
Well, it's actually, I was describing the concept to Karen. I didn't have a title for it yet. And I said, you know, I wanted some really established artists, you know, that I grew up with, touring with, like Mark Farner and Don Barnes and Jeff Carlisi, 38 Special, Kelly Kagi, of course, the Ides of March. Those are the roots. But then I want to work with new artists that I've discovered, or someone has turned me on to, or one of my talent agents, this one gal in Florida who's always turning me on to new talent. So Karen goes, why don't you call it Roots and Shoots? The shoots are the youngsters, the roots are the people you grew up with and toured with. I said, Karen, you're genius.
She is. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, Jim, you did the same thing that I did. We both married up.
Well, totally. Well said, Steve.
And how many years have you and Karen been married now?
52.
52 years. That's a great story in itself.
Oh, and
we've told the story before, but for anybody who doesn't know, Karen was the subject of Vehicle all those years ago, and Jim was the friendly stranger in the black sedan. Who
it's really quite a story. You know, I was standing in line to see the Turtles, which is one of my, and still is one of my favorite groups. And I have my pea coat on, and I get there really early, and then this gaggle of girls show up, and they're all cute, and they're all Nazareth girls. You know, that's when Nazareth was all female. And they're all cute, but I've got this one girl with the blue eyes kind of looking up, and I go, well, typical stuck-up, you know, Catholic girl. She'll never talk to me. And she turns to me and says, aren't you Peterik? Not Jim. Aren't you Peterik? I go, yeah. She said, I just saw the Ides of March. You opened up for the new Colony 6 at Morton West, and you guys were great. That's before awesome was a word. You guys were great. And I think to myself, there is a God.
Amen.
And that was the beginning. Jim, if we can ask you to hang on with us for a couple minutes, we got to take a break, and we're going to come back and spend a little more time with Jim Peterik, tell you a little more about where he's going to be, how you can follow him, and where you can get tickets, and play a little more music. So stay with us at WGN.
As we pass the last baton, it's a furious pace to the blue sky and beyond. I will stand by your side, I will open up my heart. I'm your guide, I'm your map, I'm the wind at your back. Hear these words when we're apart. We can face this world together. Stronger side by side. We can fly. We can touch the sky above. We can fly on the mighty wings of love. Hand in hand we take this journey. Throw your head back to the sky.
Steve
King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's Jim Peterick from his Roots and Shoots Volume 2 album. And that is with the Ides of March, right, Jim?
That is the Ides, man. That's the signature Ides sound, harmony, and horns, and a positive spirit in the lyrics.
Yes. Listeners want to know when you're going to be performing with the Ides, and that's going to happen before the end of the year, right, Jim?
Yes. We have shows coming up in December, November and December. So, you know, check the IdesOfMarch.com. It's going to be great getting up there with my brothers. You know, the original four guys and the horn section that we've had now. Well, we've always had horns, but the current section is so strong. We've had them for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's nothing like the thrill of brass on stage. I still so get off on that when I'm out on stage with the Ides.
It will be on November 23rd. The Cornerstone of Rock will be at the Des Plaines Theater. And then on December 8th at the Arcata will be, Jim, with the Ides of March. And you're still writing regularly. Do you get up every day and set aside time to write music?
You know what? I write every day, but I don't set aside time. It's usually happened when you least expect it. I hate to say it, driving in the car. And a lot of the songs that were my biggest hits, I wrote with a tape recorder in the passenger seat. Something about the turning of the wheels, you know. I remember, I can't hold back, I'm on the edge. Big hit by Survivor. I wrote that all in the car.
Uh-huh.
And I rush home, and I get to a piano to figure out what the hell I did. But you don't need an instrument in your hand, at least I don't. Mm-hmm. You can create it all upstairs in your head.
Well, speaking of that, have you ever done what our mutual friend Muriel Anderson told us about? She has a new album out, and one of the tracks on it is done along with Susie Boggess, and it's about sailing. And Muriel told us that she woke up, she'd had a dream. The song was complete when she woke up. All she had to do was grab her guitar and put it down, and that was the song that they went in and recorded. Have you ever had that happen?
Oh, my God. All the time. And believe me, I have a tape recorder by my side. You know, Karen knows by now my craziness. And I'll be leaping out of bed and recording a song, running to the piano, and going back to sleep. But, you know, the next day, I would have forgotten it. And I go back to the recorder, and sometimes it's not good. because in my dream, it's the number one record.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And not always. But once in a while, unless you capture those little bits of a dream, it's gone forever. So just like Muriel, I'm a big believer in that.
We've had several texts from people wanting to know, where is the best place for them to get some of your albums? So should they do Amazon, jimpeterick.com, or what's your venue of choice?
Well, Amazon is got everything. You know, of course, the Ides of March show or a world stage show, you know, Chris will have all the merch out. But, you know, Amazon's a darn good source.
Listener said they heard you mention the New Colony 6, and way back in the day when you guys in the Ides of March opened for the New Colony 6, and of course Ronnie Rice is he's part of our family. Listener says, how's he doing, and will he be a part of the Cornerstone of Rock show that you do that has just blossomed into this huge event every year, and that's going to be on November 23rd. Ronnie will be there this year?
Are you kidding? Without Ronnie, you know... It's half a show instead of a whole show.
It's not a party.
Of course he'll be there. And Ray Graffia and Tom Duty will be flying in for the Crying Shames portion. And Hook, you know, but Jim Pilster. And it's old home week, you know. And we just love that show. We have so much fun.
Another listener says, by the way, Jim, you were born on Veterans Day. We did not mention that when you said your birthday is November 11th. And do you still keep in touch with Henry Paul of the Outlaws?
a little bit, not as much as I used to. You know, he's a new dad, and I think he's, you know, kind of consumed with that. An old new dad, you know. a younger wife, but he's doing great, and we still chat. And he has the tightest jeans of anyone. It's like a decal.
Wow.
I don't know how he gets into those.
Coming from you, that's saying a lot, because as I've always said, you and Keith, you and Mick Jagger have the best rock and roll legs in music today, hands down.
Yeah, but, well, he's got spray on pants, he has to.
No doubt.
We have people listening to us from all over, and via the internet, we're hearing from some people over in Europe who want to know, are the Pride of Lions going to be touring over in Europe at any point in the future?
Well, touring, I won't say touring, but in April, we're going to Italy, and we're playing Milan and the Big Frontiers Festival.
Oh!
I don't know if it'll expand beyond that. That's a huge event in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be 10,000 people there. And Toby and I are just really looking forward to it. The 23rd of April, we'll be flying out there, and we're really excited about it. Being invited to that is just really special.
Mm-hmm. And for people that are going, wait a minute. You've talked about world stage. You've talked about the eyes. You've talked about Jim doing solo work. The work that Jim does with Toby Hitchcock is the Pride of Lions, and
right.
you guys were well received. I think you have done European gigs before, haven't you, Jim?
Oh, we have some major fests. We even did a live album in Italy, and I remember there's this long runway stage, and Toby, I didn't know if he, I knew he was a great singer, but I didn't know what a great performer was that he was until that night.
Hmm.
And he takes that mic and he goes out on that runway and goes all the way to the tip of the runway, and the girls are all like grabbing at his jeans and everything. And I go, okay, this guy's a rock star.
That's great. Again, we're getting texts. That's why I got to sneak in all these questions. A listener had a question. Let me find it here. Okay, here we go. I will repeat. It is Wednesday at the Desplaines Theater. Apparently, they're kind of overwhelmed by the many hats that you wear, and they're trying to find out where to get tickets. That's at the Desplaines Theater, and you can go to desplainstheater.com, and you can get tickets for the Wednesday night show, and that's the World Stage Show. And then it's on the 7th for listeners in Seattle, Washington, that Jim will be there at the Jazz Alley. And then on October 7th, November 23rd, the Cornerstone of Rock will be at the Desplaines Theater, and then on the 8th of December, the Arcata Theater is the place for the Ides of March. And that's kind of like go ahead.
That's kind of a Christmas show.
Yeah.
It's
a little early, but yeah, it's, one of the sets is mostly our original Christmas music, a couple of classics, and, Toby gets up there but he blows everybody's mind with "Oh Holy Night." Mm. I mean, he starts it at a whisper, and it just builds to. You can't believe how well he sings that song.
Oh, I bet.
I wait for it. I feel like an audience member on stage watching him.
Very cool. Jim, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. And someday it'll work out. We'll get you back in the studio with one of your, 195 guitars that you have today?
Well, it's 210.
What?
See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I keep telling Johnny, I need to catch up to Jim.
No!
Well, they breed in dark places, so you just tuck them away in a dark room, and they have little babies.
Uh-huh, sure. Yes. You have the classic case of GAS. Guitar acquisition syndrome.
Yep. Yes, I have serious gas, and there's no cure. Thumbs doesn't do it, you know?
Okay, before we let you go, speaking of gas, I have to ask you if you have heard about this. This was a guitar that Johnny surprised me with as a present. I'd heard about it. A friend of ours had one in Florida. Have you heard of the Enya guitars?
No.
Has nothing to do with the singer, Enya.
No, nothing to do with the singer, Enya. It, look up Enya guitars. It's a carbon fiber guitar. It's shaped like a Les Paul guitar. And whoa. You don't... it doesn't need an amplifier, although you can plug it in. It has a built-in sound system. You charge it like you would your cell phone. It's a wonderful... It's about a three-quarter size guitar. It's a terrific instrument.
And you can take it out in the winter because it's carbon fiber, you can take it on a plane because it fits in the overhead.
Yeah, temperature doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's a really cool guitar.
And it sounds great, too.
Looks like I'll be adding an Enya to my collection.
Okay.
You're trouble.
We love you, and we're so happy when we can catch up with you, and we're so happy that you're doing incredibly well. I mean, it's crazy trying to keep up with you. But
and tell Sophia Seth we can't wait to meet her, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's a dear, and I can't thank you guys enough. I mean, we go back.
Yeah,
we go seriously back.
And I just love you guys so much. And I was just who's the guitar player? My mind just blanked up that from Australia.
Oh, Tommy Emmanuel. In fact,
just put a big greatest hits album out. 40 tracks, all of his best stuff. I have to order that.
In fact, if you want to see a wonderful video, go to Stephen Johnny's YouTube channel and look up Tommy Emmanuel. He was in the studio with us a few months ago, and look up his version of the Beatles medley. So far, since we put it up, it's got about 130,000 hits. It was a magical night, and our producer, Julian, was able to capture it all on video. And just take a look. You'll be blown away.
I will do it. I will do it. Yeah, I talked briefly to Julian today, and boy, he's been with you for a long time now, right?
He's young, but,
and we're hoping we can hold on to him for a while longer.
Hey, hug Karen for us, Jim, and take care of yourself. I know you're so busy, but take care of yourself, okay?
Always.
All right.
And Karen sends her love. She's snoring away. I shouldn't say snoring, but maybe.
We don't snore. Stop it now.
No, you don't. Her.
That's right. Thank you, Jim.
She's sleeping and sends her love. Oh, man, you guys are the best. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim. We love you.
Take care, hon.
Being friends. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love Jeff Lynne. I love ELO. And
I love the fact that people are probably in their cars coming home from the concert tonight at the United Center.
Jeff Lynne's ELO Over and Out Tour.
This is it. This is it. And I've seen some of my friends' pictures on Facebook and their videos. Yeah. The light show. Oh, my gosh. As one of my friends said, we've got to bring back the light show because it was breathtaking. And the live videos that I've seen from last night's show were just so good. Gosh.
I think I've liked just about every single thing that Jeff Lynne ever did.
Yeah.
His days with ELO, his days with the Traveling Wilburys.
Are you kidding?
He produced a lot of Roy Orbison's last things.
Yes. And he is the original founder and member of ELO. It started in like 1971.
Was it that late?
Yeah, it was. And my brush with ELO...
I love this story.
My brush with fame. I was a cocktail waitress at Holiday Inn on Lakeshore Drive. If you do the math, you'll realize that I legally should not have been serving alcohol because I was not of legal age. But nobody asked me that when I applied for the job, thinking I was going to be a waitress at the Pinnacle Restaurant on top of the Holiday Inn at Lakeshore Drive, but instead I got the gig as the cocktail waitress in the tiny little bar down the hall from Rick's Cafe Americaine. And because it was a tiny little bar, there was only me and the bartender. It was the best money in the world because it was a little hidden gem. Mm-hmm. We had a couple of Pac-Man tables in there and great bartenders. And I just liked having that opportunity to talk with the customers. And ELO came to town and they had, I think it was three nights. And they came to the bar after their show, and I knew it was ELO. And let me tell you, I was over the moon, but I was the consummate professional because they realized after the first night, I did not tell a soul that they were in that hotel. Mm-hmm. So the next night after the show, they came in, and they literally paid for 1 month of my tuition at Columbia College because they were so good to me, and I didn't rat them out. So there wasn't a gaggle of women waiting in the lobby for them. So in turn, they could relax and they could unwind, sit over in the corner. I would bring them all the beers, all whatever they wanted to drink. And they would give me fabulous tips. And I always like to say that they paid literally for a whole month of my tuition. So Jeff Lynn, if you're listening, thank you. And I
never got any pictures with them.
Never got pictures. I never asked for tickets, even though they were in town for a couple of shows, and then they were going up to Wisconsin, to Milwaukee. I never asked for tickets. I wanted to keep it cool because I was happy that they were going to come in another night. And you knew they were rock stars when they walked in. There was just that vibe about them. And I, of course, knew their music, and I loved everything that they did.
So what year would this have been?
That would have been... If I wasn't legal yet, that would have been 75.
Okay.
Because when I celebrated...
So this would have been just pre-radio you.
Yes, yes.
In fact, you were still at college. You were still going to Columbia College.
Right next door to the Holiday Inn. So I could actually work and get my dinner there and then work my evening shift. And then the next day when I got to work, I could walk over. At that time, you could pay by the month at Columbia College. I would walk over to that big window, and I'd push the money through, and I'd say, this is my 1 month's tuition, instead of coming up with thousands of dollars for the year. And I remember feeling like I was the cool kid because I knew that ELO was in town, but I didn't tell anybody. I was keeping them just for me. And I still have the matchbook that I picked up off the table when they left the last night. I just kept the matchbook because they had eaten at an Indian restaurant in town before they came to the bar. And the bar closed at 2:30 in the morning. And so they would just stay for all those hours and play Pac-Man and just sit and chew the fat and unwind after a busy night. So that was my brush with fame.
Well, actually, you had several brushes with fame while you were working there as a waitress, because weren't there a number of other performers that came in?
When I worked at
some jazz performers.
When I worked at Rick's Cafe Americaine, sadly, I didn't know that they were the names that they were at that time. And they would come in and they would do a whole week. You've got your Clark Terry that would come in and work a whole week. You know, if I'd had the internet, I could have Googled and found out who these guys were. I just knew that when we had these big names come in, that in fact, it would be standing room only. And
didn't you say Clark Terry, Red Norvo?
Red Norvo. You name all of the big names in jazz, they would come and they would spend a week there. And we would get to hang out and eat dinner with them before the lights went down and the show would start. So that was fun. But not as much fun as waiting on ELO when you're 20 years old. So when I turned 21 and they found out it was my 21st birthday, when they went, whoa, time out. Why are you working here? This is against the law. You didn't tell anyone, did you? Nope. I didn't tell a soul.
We're going to segue from ELO and music to TV with Jessica Radloff. So stay with us at WGN Radio.
Was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a big bang.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and we are privileged to talk once again with the the woman who is the West Coast editor of Glamour magazine, New York Times best-selling author of The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story
of the epic hit series. But we like to have Jessica on to talk not only about The Big Bang Theory, but about all the television that she has to watch. Yep, she gets paid to watch TV, and she watches a lot of it, and she does a number of panels, and this girl has been so busy. I am tickled that we can make her sit down tonight and catch her breath. Hello, Jessica Radloff.
Oh, hi, Johnny. Hi, Steve. It's so good to talk to you all, and thank you for saying that mouthful every time. I should stop overachieving in this career so that I give you guys a break when you have to announce me.
Well, I've got to say, though, I looked at your schedule from the month of September, and it was just exhausting, but wonderful. I mean, you had the whole Emmy build up to the Emmys, and then the Emmys, and then the coming down from the Emmys. Was it bigger and better than it has been in recent years?
My schedule or the Emmys?
Both.
All of the above.
All of the above. Well, there's some exciting things that I'm working on, too, that I can't share yet, but I'm excited to hopefully share with you all soon. Mm-hmm. So that's kept me even crazier and busier than I normally am, which is already crazy. But yeah, the Emmys this year, I think what made it so special and different was the fact that when we had the last Emmys in January, it was coming off the double strike with the SAG,
right?
You know, the Screen Actors Guild, and also with the Writers Guild. And this was the first so-called normal awards season we had had. So everybody was really excited to celebrate and be a part of that. But also, I think we forgot that by having the Emmys in September, it's also the same launch month as a lot of these new shows. So mm-hmm. it's just everything is just heightened in terms of what's going on. And, you know, everybody's trying to get all the attention on their shows. And it's really hard to do when there's so many launching at the same time.
Especially with all of the streaming services. And can we start yeah. with one that you wrote a wonderful piece on, the Netflix series, Nobody Wants This.
Yeah, we both read your article, and without giving anything away, go ahead and share your feelings on it. And we agree with a lot of what you've been saying.
So thank you for saying that. Nobody Wants This is a series. It's a romantic comedy half-hour series that just dropped 2 days ago on Netflix. And it stars Adam Brody, who, of course, we all loved, as Seth Cohen on The OC, and Kristen Bell from Veronica Mars. And the two of them play a couple in this romantic comedy, which is from Aaron Foster. Adam Brody plays a rabbi, and Kristen Bell plays an agnostic podcaster named Joanne. And the big thing here is these two coming together, especially, I don't want to say being from different worlds, because they're alike in a lot of ways. But of course, the biggest obstacle they have is the fact that Noah is Jewish, and being a rabbi obviously ups the stakes. And Joanne is not religious at all. And Noah comes from a family where they want him to only marry somebody who is Jewish. And the cast is amazing. The supporting cast is hysterical. I truly, truly love this show. I really want a second season. But I can't say I love the show without also saying that in the beginning especially, it was very hard to love, because as somebody who is a proud Jew and is very sensitive and aware of all the anti-Semitism in the world lately, and just, you know, what's going on, there's a lot of Jewish stereotypes mm-hmm. that take place in Nobody Wants This, especially among the Jewish women. And that was really unfortunate to see, because I really think we've moved past that. It's kind of lazy to go there. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful that my editor-in-chief was very supportive in saying, you need to write a piece about this. And I was a little afraid at first, for obvious reasons. And also, I don't usually go into the opinion route as much as I did in this piece. But I felt that it really needed to be said, because it was something that was constantly on my mind. And again, I love the show. I mm-hmm. want more of it. But it needed to be talked about, because you know, we've evolved so much as a society and as a country, but when we see things that are old-fashioned, stereotypical, tropes, you've got to call it out because you want them to do better going forward.
As I said, Johnny and I talked about this, and we both really agree with everything you've said, but I'm wondering, is it just my perspective, or you talk about this being an easy way out, have a lot of particularly sitcom-y television shows been guilty of, particularly in their early days of a show, stereotyping most of their characters for what they view as comedic effect and what, like you, I view as lazy? No, don't do that. You can be funny without throwing that nonsense up against the wall.
Right. Yes. And we've noticed, we even saw this. Here's a good example with The Big Bang Theory. You know, if you go back and watch season one, there's a lot in season one that wouldn't fly today. Mm-hmm. It's outdated. It doesn't work. Take the character of Howard Wolowitz. Mm-hmm. That would not be an acceptable character in 2024. And a lot of shows, especially when they're launching, they're really trying to find their footing and figure things out. And, you know, so I think sometimes you have to give some people grace when they're launching a show. It's hard enough to get a show made. It's even harder to get a show made that's really good. And nobody wants this. This is a really good, fun show. I think everybody's going to fall in love again with Adam Brody in this role. I mean, he is just prime TV boyfriend material, and it's the kind of romance you don't see on screen anymore. And I really do think, like, if there's a season two, they will work on a lot of these stereotypes, because I wasn't the only one that pointed it out, which made me feel better, at least, you know, because you're always like, oh, God, I hope I'm not the only one. But a lot of people had the same thing to say about it, was that, you know, the Jewish guys in this show come off great. Everybody's going to want to date them after this. The Jewish women, on the other hand, I said to my mom, I was like, oh, my God, if any guy watches this, there's nobody that's going to say I want to date a Jewish woman after this. We all look so crazy in terms of being nagging, controlling, just wanting to get married. And, you know, that's where I had a hard time with it. But I do think with any show that's getting off the ground, you know, there's a learning curve involved. And you do figure it out going forward of what can be done better. So I am hopeful and excited to see where it goes from here.
And Jessica, you did not form these opinions from one episode. You watched the series, right? Nobody Wants This.
This is how crazy I was to make sure that, because anytime I state my opinion very, like, you know, and I'm going to take a stand, I want to make sure that I've covered all my bases. I watched all 10 episodes twice. I even had my mom and my sister, I gave them my special password for Netflix for the preview content that us journalists get. I told my mom and my sister to watch it. I was like, okay, I need you to watch this. Tell me what you think in case I'm overreacting and stuff. And they said the same thing. They loved it, but they completely agreed. And then more people that I talked to who did get advanced screeners, they were like, yeah, you're absolutely right on this and stuff. So that made me feel better. And it's currently the number one show on Netflix. I mean, everybody is talking about this. And there's so much to kind of, you know, go into with it. So I'm excited that it is doing well, because I think it really is one of the best, especially rom-com shows I've seen in a while. And I think there's also a way to be educated about things in it, too. And it's very timely. So, have you guys had a chance to watch it yet?
No.
Not yet, but it's absolutely on our must-watch list. We're going to have to break, but before we do, two quick questions. One, have you heard from anyone connected with the show after you wrote the review? And two, if we need to pick a "this is the reason this happens," is the person more to blame for that stereotyping likely to be the writer, or likely to be the network heads who are telling the writers, we need this kind of a feel for this show?
In this case, so the show is loosely based on Erin Foster's life. She was not Jewish. She converted when she met her now husband, Simon. And she was the the one in charge, but this is, you know, a lot of her life story. Again, it's a little different. Her husband, Simon, is not a rabbi. I was actually supposed to talk to Aaron. In fact, I wanted to talk to Aaron for the piece that I wrote because I felt it would only be fair that if I was going to bring up my concerns, that I would want the main writer or the main showrunner or creator to be able to talk about what their thought process was.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she was not able to make the interview that we had set up. She was going to do an email interview instead, and sadly that didn't meet the deadline that I had. So we couldn't do anything, but I hope to talk to her for season two because I do think she has made a fantastic show along with a lot of other writers, but I can't speak to exactly, you know, what happened there. If anybody, you know, was it satire that they portrayed the Jewish women this way, or how was it? Only because I don't know yet.
Mm-hmm.
There was one article in Hey Alma that was written where they did talk to Erin, and she said that she hadn't given much thought into some of the Jewish women characters.
Huh.
And that's a little troubling to hear, but at the same time, I would really hope to have a conversation to hear more about that. You know, because again, there's so many moving parts, in her defense with a story like this and with wanting to create a great rom-com. So, you know, I think there's, you know, you can't also reduce it to just a soundbite. So I mm-hmm. would love to talk to her and mm-hmm. hear more about their reasoning behind some of these stereotypes. And I think they're aware of it because, like I said, I've been one of many who have said the same thing. And also I've gotten some amazing kind notes and words about people agreeing with me behind the scenes, which really does, it means a lot because I did want to be as fair as I could in a piece like this.
And the show that we're talking about is Netflix, Nobody Wants This. And Jessica Radloff is our guest. We've got a lot of ground to cover with her because there are a bunch of shows that are going to be popping up in the month of October. So stay with us here on WGN.
The insanity, oh, dogs that crap and pee, home of depravity, no, they live happily, yo, plus the Ally G Show and Celebrity Mole, oh, and there's Anna Nicole, she's scaring me, look, mono cavities, oh.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio.
Boy, those are some names we haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah, Weird Al Yankovic taking us back to... before you started doing this for a living as Jessica, were you a couch potato?
Was I a couch potato?
Yeah.
I mean, my parents always made sure that I was doing extracurricular activities, but if I had my way, I would have probably just been on the couch in my sweats watching television. So I guess you could say that, but they made sure that I, you know, got outside, mm-hmm. did my own, you know, thing, was active, all that stuff, but... Yeah,
and if it wasn't TV, we've learned that it would be sports. That
yes.
was also it your was, love.
Yeah, I mean, you can't grow up in St. Louis without being a diehard sports fan, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to baseball. And I know that's a sensitive subject between Chicago and St. Louis, but
yes.
it's part of your, you know, your identity and it's yeah. your upbringing and stuff. So,
but Jessica.
Yeah, I know my dad was especially scared when I started dating a guy from Chicago once, but at least he was a White Sox fan, and my dad was very relieved that it wasn't a Cubs fan. But I think at this point, they'll be like, we honestly don't care. Like, the guy can be the biggest diehard Cubs fan in the world.
You don't care.
It's fine.
But Jessica,
you just want a son-in-law.
I was going to say, even though you're a St. Louis fan, hey, the White Sox now have the record.
That's right.
I know. Poor White Sox fans, that's for sure. Oh, God.
I wanted to feel for them. Speaking of the White Sox, they're on the south side of Chicago. I want to talk about a show that we don't watch, we've never watched, but frankly, I'm surprised at what happened last week. I'm talking about The Golden Bachelorette. I had understood that this dude from the south side of Chicago, Jack, was really the reason why people were watching the show. They said he's funny, he's earthy, they have to bleep him, and now he's gone?
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Especially, I'm going to tell you why it's ridiculous. We know, for anybody that is watching The Golden Bachelorette, you know that Joan was never going to wind up with Jack, and that's fine. However, there are so many other guys that are still on the show that you know she's not going to wind up with either, but they're still on the show because they're great comedy and they're fun to watch and people love them. So why did she have to get rid of Jack in week two? I do not understand, because Jack could have at least stayed around until like week four or week five, just like some of these other guys that you know aren't going to win her final rose, but they're there for a good time. So I don't know. I'm still upset about Jack. He was so much fun. And really, I like he was a hoot, as they say.
Yeah,
so
he deserved his own show. Jack.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's a caterer, isn't he? He has something to do with restaurants. Hey,
we need to have a reality show with Jack.
Jack. Southside Jack.
Yes. Well, you know what we really need? We really need, like they do Bachelor in Paradise, we need a Golden Bachelor, like a Golden Girls type edition of things. Like, don't put them on the beach where there's no air conditioning and there's bugs. Like, no, that's not okay. However, I do think, like, what if they were in some sort of, like, chalet or something where it's nice and cozy and, you know, like, put them there. We need a show like that. So that's what I say. Like, we need more Jack.
I agree. And again, I have to chuckle because I've never watched even a minute of the show, but I felt like I was invested in this dude because of everything that I heard about him on the late night talk shows and on the radio. People were going, well, he's the reason I watch. And I said, doggone it, now he's gone.
He was so good. But there are other guys, I have to say, that thank goodness they're still around because they're so sweet and so funny. Like, I truly, you know, the regular Bachelor franchise has gotten a little hard to cover lately because the shows have, there's a lot of turmoil going on with it. I'll just say that. But I will say that there's something about the Golden Bachelor, now the Golden Bachelorette, that gives you hope again, and it makes watching this franchise fun. And I hope people who are fatigued from what happened on The Bachelorette this past summer, I hope they will still watch The Golden Bachelorette, even though they might feel a little like, I don't know if I want to get invested, because there is a different vibe to it. It's so hopeful and it's so fun, and it just makes me happy to watch. So I do have to say I do love The Golden Bachelorette and Bachelor franchise. I want that to stick around. I would take that over the regular franchise. That's how much I love it.
We have to break for news, but I have to say, and I'm going to just lay this out there for you to think about it. On the subject of stereotypes, I would love to see a Golden Bachelorette with a woman who's not had facial work. I'd like to see a woman like I know, who's in her 60s, who hasn't done that.
The few times that Johnny has forced me to tune in to watch any of this stuff, I am so distracted by the Mount Rushmoreism of their faces. It's just
that's ugly.
Stop
that. Jessica Radloff is our guest. We got a lot of TV to talk about because there's a lot of good stuff coming up. Despite what you may be thinking that there's nothing on TV, there is. So stay with us here on WGN.
I bought a bourgeois house in the Hollywood Hills with a trunk load of $100,000 bills. Man came by to hook up my cable TV. We settled in for the night, my baby and me. We switched round and round till half past dawn. There was 57 channels and nothing on. 57 channels and nothing on.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking about 57 channels and a whole lot on. We're talking with Jessica Radloff. She is the senior West Coast editor for Glamour magazine. And the author of The Big Bang Theory, The Definitive Inside Story.
That would be the best-selling.
The best-selling New York Times best-selling book. And Jessica, I have an odd question for you from some people who've found your Twitter page. But they want to know, a lot of people are leaving Twitter. They want to know, do you have any presence on Threads or any of the other websites?
I do. I'm most active on Instagram. And my handle there is at Jessica Radloff 14. Probably should have made that a little bit easier because that's also a mouthful. But yeah, I'm mainly active on Instagram. I am on Threads. I don't post on it that much, but I probably need to get better at it. And that's the same goes for TikTok. I'm on TikTok, but I'm still trying to figure that out too. So I'm a work in progress on those. But yeah, Instagram is usually the best place to find me.
And that's where we get all those good pictures too. So that's why I enjoy following you on Instagram.
I love photos.
I want to talk about what's happening for CBS and their streamer Paramount Plus. I guess they're celebrating. Thank you, Kathy Bates, and thank you, Matlock. I guess it is a huge hit for them. And yeah. I got to tell you, I adore her. And going into it, I thought, oh, I love the original Matlock. Mm-hmm. But this thing, 38% increase over the course of 3 days.
That's huge.
The show aired, it's the best premiere in the last 5.5 years for CBS. So this is like crazy big deal. Have you ever talked to Kathy Bates?
Yes, I actually interviewed her at the Emmy Awards a few weeks ago, and she was great. And also, she was on The Big Bang Theory. She played Amy Serafalo's mother.
Yes.
Bialik's mom. She's always been a dear friend of Chuck Lorre's. So she was also in a show, I want to say it was called Disjointed, but I might be getting that wrong because my brain is fried at the moment. But yeah, she's been a longtime friend of Chuck, so she was on Big Bang, and she made a few appearances on there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then I spoke with her again at the Emmys this year. She was with one of her co-stars from Matlock, and she's just so fun and funny. And I really got a kick out of her, and she's so great in this role. And I think anytime you hear numbers like this, and the fact that once, you know, people are now streaming it on Paramount Plus, mm-hmm. and the numbers go up as much as they have, then everybody kind of is like, oh, well, then I need to check it out because I don't want to be left out of
that. That's right.
You know, my parents started watching it this past weekend too. So yeah, I think that's going to be a really, really big one this year. So Justin Hartley and Kathy Bates, next time CBS has the Emmys, I think those two should host it because they are really doing well for CBS.
And the Matlock Show will end up on a Thursday night at 9 o'clock. That will start on October 17th. So now I'm getting excited because we've got it recorded and I'm looking forward to watching it now because everybody else is watching it.
And speaking of CBS, I want to stay with one other thing, and I think I know the answer to part of this. Blue Bloods fans are just going nuts about, oh, is this really going to be the ending, or is there, are they going to extend it, or is there going to be a spin-off of something? What can you tell us?
It's really the ending this year. It's the back half of the final 14th season, and yeah, as far as a spin-off, I haven't heard anything. Of course, I would love it. Really, I should say, honestly, if they did a spinoff, I just want to see, like, a home cooking show. It's the Reagan household on family dinner. Like, I don't even need the cop stuff.
I just
want to see, like, you know, the family dinners. Like, maybe you should have a comedy from it. I mean, I would certainly watch that. But yeah, as of right now, it is the end of Blue Bloods, which is a bummer because it was such a great show that you could always count on every Friday night. But also, you know, in the changing television climate, 14 seasons is a huge accomplishment. So there's so much to be proud of, and I'm glad they could at least go out how they wanted to, even if they didn't want to, but they were still able to give it a proper ending instead of it just being canceled and not getting that chance.
Yeah.
Can we tell you that we have been averaging about, I want to say around 19 or 20 Blue Bloods binging episodes per week?
We have spent the summer. Yes.
My God.
Listen, Jessica, all we have left out of 14 seasons is season 3, 4, and 5. We've watched all the other seasons every single episode this summer. I can't even believe it. I feel like when we sit down to dinner, I'm looking around and go, where is everybody? There's supposed to be like 10 people at my table.
That's amazing. You guys deserve an award for that. You really do. I mean, CBS should just give you a special dinner plate now.
You know,
like, you know, your name's on it or something.
You know, you talk about coming late to the game. I was like, I didn't like it when it came out 14 years ago. And now I look forward. We're watching it like till 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, literally.
We'll say, okay, four episodes. That's it. Because now I'm going to dream about them. I've got to stop now.
Like when we go home this morning, when we get off at 2, we'll get home somewhere around 3-ish. And we'll probably be up till at least close to 7. Watching Blue Bloods.
That's hysterical. But I do have to say, Blue Bloods has a great opening theme, and I never would like fast forward through that or skip the know, the title sequence. It's just so good.
Yes. Oh, I'm seeing it right now. It's flashing before me. And we're going to stick with CBS for a minute because another favorite show that's coming back is Ghosts.
Yes.
And I've always loved the key characters, Samantha and Jay. I love their relationship as a husband and wife living in this haunted house, and she can see the ghost. Are you hearing what I've heard, that apparently her husband Jay is going to be able to see the ghost this season?
I mean, if I wanted to be cute and coy, I would say you're just going to have to tune in. The bottom line, if I can be very honest, because I'm always honest with you guys, is that I don't know, because I don't. Ghost is one of those shows that I never quite got into. And I know that it's such a fan favorite, and I hate even saying that, but that way you will know when I say I love something that mm-hmm. I've seen it and everything. But yeah, I never totally got into Ghost, but I know it's so immensely popular and so many people love it. So
I need to
give it another chance.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it jumps the shark if Jay starts seeing the ghost. And if they have a ghost dog, that I understand there's going to be a ghost dog, I'm sorry, now you've just pushed it over the edge.
And Johnny and I were talking about this during the week, because one of the things that really works for us in the show is she sees the ghosts, he doesn't. So there's always this, is she really seeing ghosts, or did she hit her head, and is this a fantasy world? Now, if he starts seeing the ghosts, that whole premise is shot down, and you've really lost a lot of the impetus for the what's going on here.
Oh, and the comedy.
Yeah.
The comedy between the two of them. When he's, are the ghosts in the room? We're in bed. I feel very uncomfortable,
Yeah. By the way, you want to know a fun fact? Is that Danielle Pinnock, who's in the show, she was in Young Sheldon season one.
Really?
Yeah. So it's really fun to see some of these people, like, before they made it big in their respective shows. You're like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah. You learned something else beforehand. So, she's very much in the CBS family before Ghost.
And it's so cool, too, because they never age. That's the amazing thing.
I know, right?
They were talking TV with Jessica Radloff, the senior West Coast editor for Glamour magazine and the New York Times bestselling author of The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story. And you need to get a copy of that book.
And Jessica, we met you 2 years ago, October, because that's when the book came out.
I know. I was thinking about that the other night because I was sitting in my car outside of a Panera doing the interview with you guys. And
that's right.
And I just remember it was just such a crazy time because, you know, the book was launching and I'd never been through anything like that before.
Yes.
And you've been such amazing supporters since day one, and even when the paperback came out 11 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just amazing. So you're honorary members of the Radloff family from here on out.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, I think CBS may send us a check because we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the shows. Listeners are loving Matlock. They're telling us they are so excited about the show because the premiere was fantastic. Also, again, sticking with CBS, listener says, can you ask about any news on the Young Sheldon spinoff, George and Mandy's First Marriage? We've got the original George and Mandy, right?
Yes, we have the original Georgie and Mandy, played by Montana Jordan and Emily Osment, and her parents, played by Will Sasso and Aubrey, Rachel Bay Jones, she plays Aubrey, they are also in it. I was actually on set the other week for episode 5, and we have Annie Puck coming back for that.
Oh, good.
We have Reagan Revord. We have Craig T. Nelson, Zoe Perry. It's really, really lovely. It just feels like coming home. And it's so much fun to have, the young Sheldon family come mm-hmm. back in for this show. So yeah, I'm very excited for everybody to see that. The opening sequence is also amazing. So I will just tease that for now. You'll have
okay.
to see when that premieres, which is only in 3 weeks, crazily enough. But yeah, so a lot of the young Sheldon family is going to be popping in and out. But this is really Mandy and Georgie's, you know, kind of foray into raising their daughter and living with her parents and picking up the pieces after George Sr. passed away in the penultimate episode of Young Sheldon. So if you loved Young Sheldon, I think you're really going to enjoy Georgie and Mandy's first marriage. And it's just like, it's just like a warm hug. Like, it's so nice to be with these people again. And they're also filming it on the same stage as The Big Bang Theory. So there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see a show that started in 2007 find its way in this universe, and now it's on its like third incarnation of this world with this show. So I'm excited for people to see
it. I mentioned Tracker because a couple of weeks ago you did a Comic-Con panel with the cast from Tracker, which I think I even CBS was shocked at how popular this show was from the get-go. Possibly due to Justin Hartley, I would say.
But, well, we've been fans of his since some of his first forays on the CW.
And now, is Jensen Ackles going to be a more regular character on the show, Tracker?
So let me say this. Jensen Ackles was in, was it just one episode in season one?
Yeah.
But don't forget, season one was also a shortened season because it was a mid-season show that didn't premiere until after the Super Bowl in February. So in season two, Jensen is in episode two. I think it is, it's their hope that he will be in more than just the one episode. I think you're going to see more of him because I know they certainly want to have more of the family members, especially like Melissa Roxburgh, come back as well. So I think you're going to get more Jensen, and that's also just because there's also going to be way more episodes. I think it's either 18 or 20 that they're doing this season of Tracker. So they're really going to do more of a deep dive into Coulter's family history and what's going on there, because there was a lot of cliffhangers involving his family too, with what's going on with the sister and why is she hiding things, and you know, so all that I think you will see more play out into season two. And you're also going to get a new pairing with Rini and Velma teaming up to work together, so that's going to be interesting. I just think like there's a lot more to really, I know I've said this already, but just go deeper with these characters in the series, because I feel like they set up a lot of things in the first season, and now this is their chance to really play in the playground, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we segue out of primetime for a minute? We understand there is some sad news from the daytime TV world.
From Days of Our Lives in particular. And gosh, I was shocked to hear this. Tell the story about Drake.
So really about 30 minutes before I came on your show tonight, I heard that Drake Hogestyn, who played John Black / Roman Brady in the early days from Days of Our Lives, he passed away. It was announced by his family tonight at the age of 70 from pancreatic cancer, which is one of the worst cancers ever possible. It makes me so angry that there's still no cure for this particular cancer. And I had gotten to know Drake really well over the last decade on Days. I first interviewed him for Glamour. Then when I was also doing a column for the St. Louis Cardinals official Game Day magazine, I interviewed him for that as well, because he was originally drafted by the Cardinals as a baseball player. He was also a diehard Yankees fan. He was just the nicest, nicest man. He was everything you wanted him to be if you were a fan of Days of Our Lives. I mean, he was a staple. He was always paired with Deidre Hall, who, you know, Marlena, and they were one of the super couples of the 80s. And he was still on the show as of June You know, he was still working. From what I've heard, this was a very sudden diagnosis and illness, and it just took his life quick. Wow. And it just breaks my heart, because 70 is so young, and this man yeah. was a health nut. He was so active. He loved life. He was a grandfather. I knew his son. Just a wonderful, sweet, generous, loving man. And I just, my heart goes out to his family and his Days of Our Lives family and all of his friends, because he was truly one of the good ones.
He was 38 years as John Black on Days of Our yeah. Lives. And if you ever just tuned in for a couple of episodes, you saw him.
Yeah.
Because he was such a staple. And he was one day shy of his 71st birthday. How tragic. Yeah.
Gosh. And it just devastates me. It truly does.
Yeah. Gosh.
I know he probably never put this on his resume, but he was one of those actors that could do more with a raised eyebrow.
Yes.
Yes, and in fact, I posted on my Instagram stories right before we went on air tonight, and one of them is he's sitting in his dressing room, and I made him pose with all the St. Louis Cardinals memorabilia that I had with me. But also, I put up a clip that of when he was still playing Roman Brady at the time, before mm-hmm. they realized he was John Black, and it was when he realized that Marlena was really alive, and they're on the dock, and his reaction to seeing her is amazing. It's one of the most iconic soap opera moments ever. Hmm. And I posted it on my Instagram stories tonight, and I'll never forget him telling me that when he was embracing Marlena in that moment, and he kind of like touches her hair, like, because they're hugging finally after all these years. And I guess Deidre had extensions or something, but he started like accidentally pulling out her hair.
Oops.
Because, you know, I remember watching this scene as a kid, and I then couldn't believe as an adult I got to actually meet this man and interview him and talk to him about my favorite scenes from Days of Our Lives. And I was like, what was that scene like on the dock with the fog? And you're finally seeing, you know, your beloved Doc after all these years. You thought she was dead. And he's like, I remember just hugging Deidre, and then all of a sudden, like, I've got my hand on the back of her head, and hair, a clump of hair is like coming out. And now every time I watch this scene, like, you're just like, oh my god. Like, but they were so professional, and they kept it together. And yes, what he did with a raised eyebrow and a look, I mean, so brilliant. This man's work will live on forever. He was so good, so underrated, but just the nicest guy.
That's sweet.
Truly.
To hear. Yes. Jessica,
you said something, because he deserves all the attention for who he was and how I hope he's remembered.
Absolutely. And again, folks can follow you on Instagram at JessicaRadloff14 and see what you just talked about with Drake. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and there's never enough time. There's so many new shows.
We talked for an hour.
We got to track
you. Like, we just talked for 15 minutes.
Well,
that's how good you guys are. I could just stay forever.
Well, when some of these new shows premiere, we're going to get you back on the radio so we can talk about something other than CBS shows. But thank you.
Sounds like a plan. There's a lot of good ones coming back, but I understand it's hard.
No, thank you so much.
Hard, you guys.
Thank you for watching TV for us, Jessica.
Yes. You're so welcome. My pleasure.
We'll talk to you soon, hon. Take care. Bye bye now.
Thanks, Donnie. Thanks, Steve.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Yes, we're running through the Matrix.
It's a little psychedelic.
Running into the world of cyberspace. And we're going to encounter
the Director of Educational Technology of Keck School of Medicine of USC.
That would be the one and only.
That's him.
Dr. Patrick Crispin.
Woohoo! How's everybody doing?
Good, Patrick. How are you?
This has been a busy day.
Yes. Are you pooped after going to see the Blue Angels today?
We saw the Blue Angels down at Miramar, and then we were driving back listening to the Alabama-Auburn game. I apologize. Alabama-Georgia today. And we did listen to your show, but we had to listen to the Alabama-Georgia game. And oh my, I honestly think I aged 10 years during tonight's game.
Uh-oh. Then I'm not going to ask for the final score.
But Patrick, whatever they didn't break the record like the Sox
That's
did.
That's right.
It came really, really, really close. Alabama, for those who know college football, Alabama goes out to a 27-0 lead in the first half.
Ooh.
Goes into the half with a 30-7 lead, and then completely fell apart in the second half. So it was 34-33. So Georgia came back. Alabama on the next play went ahead, and I have no idea how it happened. So Alabama 30. It was 41-33, I think it was.
Wow, that was an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Then
it was a big one.
All right, we had a lot to talk about. We wanted to spend a couple minutes and talk about the fact that as of October, we move into Cybersecurity Awareness Month. I don't know what this means. I thought this should be a year-round kind of thing, but it's the month of October. What does it mean, Patrick?
Well, this has been going on for every year since 2004, held in each October, and there's a theme. This year's theme is Secure Our World. And it really kind of just takes the time to recognize that all of us, every day, we're connecting our devices to the internet. And as we do that, we need to make sure that we're taking action to reduce the risks when we take our devices and connect them to the internet. There's a website that has been set up. You might not have heard of this before, but I'd recommend checking it out. If you go to CISA.gov/secureourworld, that's CISA.gov/secureourworld. The reason why I say you probably haven't heard about that before is CISA is the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and they have an amazing resource at CISA.gov/secureourworld, which kind of talks about the big push this month where they're going to be focusing on ways you and I can just stay safe online.
For example, I have to assume that means stronger passwords. We need to be more conscious and get away from the, so what if it's my phone number? So what if it's my birthday? I'll always remember it if it's something like that. That's not a strong password. That's really stupid if you do that.
But also, in the reality of life in 2024, and we've seen this just within the past 48 hours, with the advent of Hurricane Helene and some of the nasty things that have resulted from that, now, sadly, there are scammers who are putting out fake websites, fake things you can do to try and help people who have been victims of Hurricane Helene. And you really have to double and triple and quadruple check everything before you click on these websites. That's sad, but it's a reality.
It's a major thing. The big thing on the passwords is you really can't use the same password on multiple sites because, as we've talked about over and over and over again on the air, these websites get hacked, all the time, and the passwords get released. Well, if you're using a password at Target and Target gets hacked, and by the way, Target was hacked a couple years ago, your password is now in the hands of all of the bad guys. And if you're using the same password on multiple sites, they now have the ability to log in as you on multiple sites. So it really is critical for you to use different passwords for each and every site you go to. How do you remember that? Well, the best way to remember it is use a password manager. You can use one that's built into your web browser. You can use one that's built into your operating system. I use 1Password, and it absolutely just rocks. The other thing that came out related to the whole strong passwords, there is the National Institutes of Standards and Technology, NIST, and they came out with a set of standards. It's currently in feedback loop right now, where they kind of said, you know, all the rules that we follow to protect our passwords are really stupid. They don't really work. You know, the things that we do, for example, mandatory password resets. We all do this because somebody thinks that it's a good way to protect yourself. The problem is you're going to forget your new password. You don't need to reset your password unless your password's been compromised on some website. So NIST is actually proposing that all the password vendors out there say, okay, you no longer have to change your passwords all the time unless there's some sort of major problem. The other one is the idea where you have to have it where it has to have an upper letter and a lowercase letter and a number and an exclamation point, and it can only be 8 characters long. It makes it so impossible for humans to remember it. NIST is actually making recommendation that, no, let's just get rid of that. That doesn't make any sense. Let's make it easy for humans to remember it. So if you can have a password that's 16 letters or maybe even 64 letters and actually pass sentences like tonight, Alabama beat Georgia. That would be a great password because it's unique. Not a lot of people would guess it. It's very hard for a computer to guess it. You're going to start seeing that go away. You're also going to see the idea of those security questions, like what was your favorite first grade teacher or what was your first car? Those are also going to be going away. So you're going to see password changes coming soon as the National Institutes of Standards and Technology push it out. This is the first of the 4 things that we're talking about with strong passwords.
Interesting.
The other thing you remember as part of the 4-part of the 4 easy ways to stay safe online, they really want you to be able to recognize and report phishing. These are these, again, Steve was mentioning this just a second ago, where somebody is trying to get you to log in and give them your username and password. And they're going to pretend that they're the American Red Cross, or they're going to pretend that they're FEMA, or they're going to pretend that they're AOL or Facebook or whoever, and saying, oh, well, we need you to sign in here. And it's not real. They're trying to take your login credentials. So what you can do is just be on the lookout for those sorts of things. Know how to recognize and report those things. The other 2 things they recommend, turn on multi-factor authentication. We've been recommending that forever. I know it's a pain, but having that second authentication factor means that if somebody has your username and password, they still can't log in because they don't have that one extra thing. That's usually some code on your computer or on your phone that you would then put in and log in. Fourth part, and it's one of those things that we kind of forget to do, but it was one of the things we mentioned as part of our weekly Fab Five, was update your software all the time. The hackers out there, whenever there is bad stuff going on, they're going to go and look for the most vulnerable software and know that you don't have the updates. And if you don't have the updates, you're vulnerable for all those hacks. But if you keep updating your software, particularly your Windows and your Macintosh OS, particularly Microsoft Office, your web browser, if you can keep these updated, you are just much less likely to be vulnerable. So the 4 ways to stay safe online that you're going to hear a lot for Cybersecurity Awareness Month: recognize and report phishing, use strong passwords in the password manager, turn on multi-factor authentication, and update your software.
And again,
I would like to suggest that people also go back to a blog post that we did. This would have been back in June when you gave us the 10 cyber safety tips, and we posted that on our blog, and we'll post a link to that on our Facebook page, too.
We're talking technology with Patrick Crispin. Again, the site that he mentioned is CISA, CISA.gov/secureourworld. And when you see the letters MFA, that stands for multi-factor authentication, which, as Patrick said, we've been talking about forever.
I don't know where to go with this, but there's an odd thing that Johnny and I have been dealing with for the past, well, for a while, but it really surfaced over the past week. We were trying to contact a couple different people. We sent them emails. We sent them messages on Facebook. We sent them, I think, multiple emails to different accounts. And even sent them texts. And the bottom line is, we didn't know what particular thing out of all of these cyberspace options they were actually checking on a regular basis. And we're finding this is becoming more and more a problem with everybody, as we have all of these accounts and all of these ways to stay connected, and you've got so many ways to stay connected, you don't stay connected.
I talked to someone last week. I said, I sent you an email. They go, oh, I haven't had time to check my email. You should text me. And the very same day, I said to someone, did you get my text? No, I haven't had a chance to check it. Oh, my gosh. How do I get a hold of you people?
I don't know how this we solve this, but there needs to be.
I don't think there is a solution. And one of the things, if you work in technology, you are just going, amen, 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 because it's a big issue. I will tell you that one of the things I joke about, we host a lot of Zoom webinars at USC, and my team hosts them a lot. And we do it where a Zoom webinar is you can only see and hear certain speakers, but you invite those speakers as panelists in the Zoom webinar. But you have to know their username and email address. So, or their full name and their email address. So I say to the people who are putting on the event, saying, okay, I need this person's name and email address. By the way, you think you know what that person's email address is. That person has 32 email addresses. Uh-huh.
Yes.
I need to know which email address he or she reads.
Yes.
Because I'm about to send him a custom
yes.
link saying, click on this link to get into it. When the event happens, you are going to contact me angry and furious
yes.
saying, this person never got the link because we sent it to the wrong address.
A classic example of that I'm going to say who this was. Muriel Anderson.
Yes.
We wanted to let her know that after we posted her video of Vincent, that it's, I think at this point, it's about 30,000 people have looked at it. I sent the link to 5 different email addresses.
And until I sent her a text, she did not realize that the link was out there. I said, well, holy smokes, what are we supposed to do? I kind of long for the days when you just called someone and they picked up the phone, because that doesn't
yeah.
happen anymore either.
Nobody picks up the
Nobody
phone anymore.
Does. You see it ringing and I go, oh, mom. Oh, well, never mind.
Oh,
I want to take you back real quick to cybersecurity. Deanna says,
yes.
I would also like to add to Patrick's list, quote, be persnickety about who or what you allow to connect your home Wi-Fi that your phones
yes.
and computers use. When I see ads for smart refrigerators, I feel like screaming, smart is the new dumb idea.
Yes.
I'm willing to pay extra money to have a stupid refrigerator. I don't need it on the internet. I don't need to download anything. I'd like it to keep my food cold.
That's
right. It.
That's right. And don't tell me how fat I'm going to be every time I open the door. I don't need to hear that. No. Oh, gosh. You're coming through loud and clear tonight. Listeners are commenting on that. You sound wonderful.
Yeah, whatever you've done, it sounds like you're in the studio with us tonight,
yeah.
like the good old days.
Thank you very much. I fired Verizon. We can talk more about that later, but oh my, what a nightmare.
No, literally, that's what you did. You had Verizon Home, right?
Yeah. So I had Verizon 5G home internet, and really had been subscribing to Verizon 5G home internet for years, and suddenly after we got back from Chicago, it had the speed had dropped from between 100 and 300 megabits per second to 1 maybe 2, 3, 4 megabits per second. And we heard that on the air. It
yeah.
sounded
yeah.
terrible.
Yep.
And I would you know, I know how to troubleshoot these things. So I went through the troubleshooting and couldn't get it to work. So I ended up calling 611 and they said, oh, yeah, you're right. There's something wrong with the tower. Well, I tell you what, we'll send out a technician out to the tower to fix it and we'll call you back. About a month later, we're still getting really bad internet connection. No one ever called me back. And I called them up and said, this is ridiculous. You guys need to take care of this. And, oh, you're right. Absolutely. We'll send somebody out and we'll call you. And nobody ever called me. And I said, you know, okay, you're fired. So we're back on cable for home internet and just home internet. We don't have cable television, just cable for internet. Mm-hmm. And it's relatively fast and seems to be pretty clean
and so cheaper.
I'm happy with this.
I'm guessing because weren't you paying hundreds for the Verizon home?
With Verizon, because Verizon Home was only about $50, but with all the Verizon lines I have, I was paying about $300-$400 a month. So we've now cut $50 off of that, and I'm paying $50 to Spectrum instead.
Hmm. Well, it does sound great, and listeners were going, yay!
Yeah.
We're back in the 21st century.
Listeners are going, woohoo, Patrick.
Woohoo, yes.
You should check out our Facebook page. That would be facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. Again, that's facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show. And Johnny has posted a link to a blog post that we did a couple months ago. It was Patrick's 10 cybersecurity tips and a link to the site that we mentioned tonight, cisa.gov/secure. And
secure our world.
Secure our world. That isn't linked.
Oh, it's not?
Yeah, for some reason, you may need to
I have to check that
redo
out.
That. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they're both really good sources for information that you should be taking a look at to make sure that you're staying secure.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, let's not let the time get away from us and miss talking about this exciting news about the very first authorized over-the-counter hearing aids.
This is one of the most exciting things I've seen in a long time. It turns out that there are about 30 million American adults, who have some sort of hearing loss. Christine is one. Mm-hmm. I said, Christine is one. She's sitting behind me. She says, shut up. And the thing is, as we get older, our hearing gets a little worse. If you have loud noises, you've been to a lot of concerts, if you got a certain medical condition, your hearing kind of just gets a little worse. And if you think about it, that has just a negative impact for everybody who you come in contact with. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really difficult for you to communicate. It's hard for you to have relationships. It's hard for you to do your job. And it kind of makes you feel bad. So the solution for the longest time has been you need to go to a doctor or you need to go to an audiologist, and you're going to put on these really, really uncomfortable headphones, and they're going to have you raise your hand and which sound, and they come up with a profile of your hearing and then create custom hearing aids. The issue with that is they ain't cheap. They ain't cheap at all.
Yeah.
I mean, they start at $1,000 for hearing aids, and really good hearing aids can be $6,000 or more. That's a lot of money. And if you have Medicare, it doesn't cover it. And a lot of insurance companies don't cover hearing aids. The other thing is, you've got this hearing aid, and it's not the prettiest of things in your ear, and it kind of looks bad. And you might not want to broadcast to the world that you need hearing aids.
And well, it might not answer your question, because we know of at least two people that spent $1,000 for their hearing aid, and they just said, it's not right. It's just not addressing my problem.
So on September 12th, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized a new feature in Apple AirPods Pro 2 headphones. Not all Apple AirPods. It's got to be the Apple AirPods Pro 2 headphones that makes them the first authorized over-the-counter hearing aids. Let me say that again. Apple AirPods Pro 2 headphones, which you can get everywhere, Target, Walmart, $250 retail, $189 on sale usually, those are going to be FDA-grade hearing aids that you can buy right now. Even better, if you have Apple AirPods Pro 2 in your pocket, you don't have to buy anything else. Apple is giving this away as a software update. If you have any of the Apple AirPods Pro 2 made in the last 2 years, which are the all of them, you get this as a free software update later this fall. The only requirements are you have to have Apple AirPods Pro 2. It's not going to work with the AirPods 4 or AirPods Pro 1. Doesn't matter if it's a lightning cable ones or the USB-C ones. As long as it's AirPods Pro 2, you got it. And you do have to have an iPhone or an iPad, because what's going to happen is you're going to open up the Health app, usually on your iPhone. You can also do on an iPad. And you're going to go and do a hearing test. It's going to have you stick the AirPods into your ears. It's going to do a fit test to make sure that there's no outside noise. And then it'll be just like you're back in elementary school where they were doing the hearing test, mm-hmm. where you're going to hear tones and you're going to tap the screen on, yes, I hear this, no, I don't hear this. It takes about 5 minutes. And it's going to create a personalized audio profile for you. And this is going to work every time you plug in your AirPods Pro 2 and put them in your ears. If you're listening to music, if you're doing video, if you're doing calls, and if you actually have hearing losses, it will work as a hearing aid. So think about it. If you can go right now to Target, Walmart, anywhere, Best Buy, for between $189 and $249, you get yourself a pair of Apple AirPods 2 Pro 2, as long as you have an iPhone or iPad to power it, you now have the ability to buy FDA-grade hearing aids. The other thing is, everybody's wearing AirPods Pro 2 right now, so you're going to be among everybody else who has these AirPods in their ears. Everybody does it. If you do need to get hearing aids, this is an opportunity for you now, at a price point that we all can afford, to try out hearing aids before you go to a doctor and get maybe more professional ones. The other thing, and this is something we did earlier today, when we went down to Miramar and we were watching the Blue Angels fly over, I had my AirPods Pro 2 in, Christine had it, Joseph had it. We're using this as hearing protection. Mm-hmm. We just had our AirPods in, and as the F-22 Raptors were flying over, or the F-35s and the Blue Angels, we were protected. So it's a really nice thing about it. No one's talking about some limitations, and I want to tell you about the limitations of this. These AirPod Pro 2, you're going to get about 4 to 5 hours of use out of them before the battery dies. But if you go and take them out, stick them in the case for about 5 minutes, you get an extra hour of charge.
Wow.
If you leave it in the case for 20 to 30 minutes, you get a full charge. What most people do, what all the kids figured out years ago, was they walk around with one AirPod in and charge the other one. And when that goes out, they put in the other AirPod and charge it. If you're interested, we'll give you links in the show notes. But really, honestly, I think this is one of the most amazing things. Apple's technically giving it away, because the AirPods Pro 2s, they've been out for 2 years now. They're just giving it away as a software update to everybody who has these. And if you need a hearing aid, what a great gift.
So let me ask you this, though. If, for example, you're going to go to a dinner and you want to be able to hear the people that are sitting around you at this dinner, so you want to wear your AirPods, yes. Do you have to have your Apple device, your iPhone or your iPad with you to power them?
No. Basically, you can have those separated where they don't have to be. You kind of go through, connect it up once.
Okay.
And then when you can then leave your phone behind and have your AirPods go on. And as long as you've set it up where it's doing the, I'm going to be in hearing aid test mode, and I'm going to make conversations a little louder. As long as you set it up and walk out, it should keep those settings for you.
Wow, that is really cool.
I don't know that you would have this information, but I wonder, with the profile that you get, are you then able to take this profile to your doctor and say, okay, here is the information from the test that I did with Apple. Can you take this information and then proceed to help me with whatever other hearing stuff I would need to do?
Apple has not announced that, but I can guarantee you the answer is yes, because they already are doing that with your EKG if you have an Apple Watch. They're recording that information, so if you have moments of AFib or sinus tachycardia, it records that information so that you can then export that from your health profile. So that's the reason why you need an iPhone or an iPad, is the health data is actually going to be stored onto the health app, and you need that health app to do it. But to answer your question, Apple hasn't announced that they're going to make this profile viewable by doctors. I can't imagine a world where they wouldn't.
There would be no downside to that. I want to mention a bunch of things. One of them is that Johnny just posted, if you go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, you will find links to all the stuff we mentioned when we were talking about the first authorized over-the-counter hearing aids through Apple. There's a bunch of links there. And scroll down beyond that, and you will find the repaired links for the 10 cyber safety tips and some of the other things we were talking about.
Right.
And there's so much stuff that that we want to get to. Patrick, I want to talk a little bit about MeWe, and let me explain. MeWe is one of the social media sites that I have been toying with for a while. We're on Facebook and Twix and Threads and Blue Sky and all these places. And MeWe is one I have not used that much. I just occasionally posted. I jumped on when they were brand new. And I haven't been that impressed with them, but within the past week, all of a sudden, MeWe is telling me, you need to upgrade and jump on this new decentralized network, our social web. And I asked Patrick if he would help explain what the heck is the social web and do we care about it. Frankly, I think I'm going to say goodbye to MeWe, but what's the story with this?
It's an interesting idea. I understand what they're doing. MeWe's been around since 2012. They started as a social networking site called Scruples, S-G-R-U-P-O-U-P-L-E-S, because haha. And the reason why they're called MeWe is they had released something which was a dual camera video platform, where if you were taking a selfie video or selfie picture, it would have your camera on, but also the other camera on your phone on, so that it was shooting you and whatever you were looking at. So inward and outward. So MeWe. But you can also use it as just like any other social media site. It's actually a lot like Facebook. It's ad-free, no cookies or spyware. You can actually subscribe and pay a couple extra bucks for it. I will tell you, its reputation in the media has been tarnished over the last couple of years because the site doesn't moderate disinformation or misinformation. Uh-huh. They deliberately leave it up. It's become popular with people who like misinformation and disinformation. And they had a problem where they had a reputation of creating accounts on behalf of users and businesses who didn't actually use the site. MeWe is trying to clean that up. And part of that solution is now, they've started this back in 2022, and they're now forcing everybody over to it, is they're migrating its platform over to, and I'm going to use lots of jargon, so I apologize to people who are listening, a blockchain-based identity system called Polkadot Parachain Frequency. Good Lord, are you kidding me?
What?
Okay. A parachain is really just a parallel connected blockchain. Don't worry about it. Think of it as really, it's just some sort of social identity that you can then keep secure and make it portable. So you create this universal handle, like Steve and Johnny's show, and it's then stored on the blockchain, on the Web 3.0 token, and it's tied to your identity. anything you do on MeWe is then tied to this identity, and it's a way for you to prove that you really are who you are. And all of your connections are also tied to this. So if you ever say, I don't like MeWe anymore, I'm going everywhere, I want to take my users with me and take my content with me, it makes you sort of moving to another platform really easy. So the idea is you get to own your digital identity. If you wanted to leave X or Twitter, you don't own your digital identity there. In fact, they can sell your username to somebody else. Facebook has been, you know, selling your information for years. Mm-hmm. You own your digital identity on MeWe. You can port your stuff to other platforms. And if more sites are using this frequency thing, you'll be able to choose how those sites and applications use your data. The obstacles I see here, not a lot of people are using frequency, and MeWe is forcing everybody to go over to this thing. They've threatened it if it's going to happen, but if you are using MeWe and you try to log in now, it's going to say, oh, you need to go sign up for this new blockchain thing. And I've got enough social media sites out there. I get why they're doing it. I kind of like it. I just don't think enough people are signed up to it for me to worry about
it's
it
right now.
It's not
worth it at this point.
I think I'm just going to let it fall by the wayside. And you mentioned some of the disinformation. I didn't encounter that mostly because one of the things that I did once I got there was select the groups that I wanted to get information from. And those would be music, cyber stuff, you know, the entertainment, the pop culture things. So I didn't really encounter a lot of that. But I've also not had a whole lot of interaction with anybody about anything.
Well, every time you mention it, I chuckle because I'm like, really? Who's on MeWe? Who do you know?
I think when I hear MeWe, I think Beaker from the Muppets.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, by the way, can I do an audible? Is Christine still lurking around there?
She is.
Okay. Would you ask?
She's lying in bed behind me.
Oh. Well, when she has access to a camera, could she take a picture of you doing what you're doing? And the reason I'm saying this, because we want to share kind of your setup with Tom Appel, who is doing a similar setup, but for some reason he's getting all kind of ambient room noise that you are not getting. So I'd like him to get a look at what you're doing and how you're doing it.
And before
to do it.
Before you get out of here, a lot of people are real excited about this business with the AirPod 2 Pro, the hearing aids. A listener says, will they work with the Samsung phone, or do you imagine that in the future we'll have that option for Android folks?
Absolutely not.
Really?
It's Apple.
It's an Apple thing.
Apple will never, ever, 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 ever let it work over on the Android. You have to use an iPhone.
But wouldn't you think, just competitively, even if Apple won't give the secret sauce, wouldn't you think that Android companies would want to come up with their own secret sauce that would do the same thing?
I think you very likely will see some of the Android companies come up with their own FDA-approved hearing aids. I think that Apple just won this one, and they're going to be years ahead of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, and before you get out of here, again, I'm trying to take all the questions in. The other question was, and I just lost it.
Oh, so, there was a question about the last four digits of your Social Security number.
Yes. Should we be worried when a site asks for the last four digits of your Social Security number?
It really depends on if it's a financial site. Maybe it's reasonable, but again, we talked about this the last time. There was a major hack where a lot of Social Security numbers are out there right now. I'm not sure you want to be using your Social Security number as any sort of identity or some sort of verification system. And even if somebody has it, that doesn't mean that they're the legitimate organization. If you're dealing with an insurance company, if you're dealing with a banking company, if you're dealing with a utility, you probably need to provide your Social Security number. But I can't think of any other reasons why I would need to give that information out. And the Social Security Administration says you shouldn't be giving that information out. So
absolutely.
they need to have a compelling reason why you need to provide your four-digit ID if they aren't one of those sort of groups where it's required by law.
For example, your doctor's office does not need your Social Security number, and it's still on a lot of the applications right. that they give you. When they hand you that clipboard, just put NA, you know, not applicable. Yep. You're not doing it. All right, Patrick, we have rolled through our hour. Thank you so much, as always.
We will talk to you Thank again, you. Probably from Florida.
Maybe.
In a couple of weeks. Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
Well, so forget what I just said.
Okay.
We don't know.
Have a good week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Patrick Crispin, and you can follow him on various social media places, just at Crispin, and mm-hmm. he'll pop up all over the place. Time for this week's edition of Sports Between the Sheets, and after the Sox setting the all-time record, I don't know what more we need. I mean, they have now lost more games than any team in the modern era being since 1900. I guess you'd have to go back into the 18-somethings Stop. To find some team. But the Sox got the record.
Yes.
And yes, we are both huge fans of Len Casper and Darren Jackson. You're going to be able to hear them on this very radio station this afternoon. I think it's around 1 o'clock-ish.
It's after the Hamp and OB pregame Bears yeah. show. Then you're going to get the White Sox because the Bears game is on in the afternoon. And then you'll get Hamp and OB back later on.
But if you've never listened to Len Casper and Darren Jackson, they are so good. And particularly, I know we've talked about this before. When you've got a team that has as bad a season as the Sox have had this year, to keep a good, fun, entertaining broadcast going on takes a lot of talent.
Right.
I love these guys. I think they're some of the best in sports broadcasting.
No crying in baseball. Yeah. They were not crying at all.
Gabe, have you had a chance to listen to Len and DJ very often?
Not so much this season, but I've met both of them in person when I've covered baseball here in Chicago. And I will say that Len is one of those guys that the way he sounds on the radio, he also sounds in real life.
Yeah.
And Darren Jackson, actually, you know, when you listen to him, he sounds so mellow on the radio. His voice sounds even mellower when he doesn't have a microphone turned on.
Really?
So I've met both of them. You know, obviously, you know, those guys are such professionals doing what they do every day, having endured such a miserable season.
Yeah.
As you know, we all do in this business. You know, we have our good days and bad. But in sports, some broadcasters have more bad days than others. You know, having to constantly relay to the fans, oh, well, you know.
Without crying.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Or swearing or getting upset.
Exactly. Yes. Well, now, hopefully, it's going to be a good day at Soldier Field on Sunday afternoon, because it looks like the Bears and the Rams are coming into this game with similar records, right? They're both 1-2.
I believe so, yes. And, you know, obviously the last time that we talked about the Bears, there was a lot more optimism.
Yeah.
And I warned you to halt that optimism.
Yep.
And the last couple of weeks, you see why.
Yep.
You know, and with the Bears this weekend, obviously they have some injury concerns. Keenan Allen will be a game-time decision. My guess would be that, depending on how he looks in warm-ups, we'll decide if he ultimately plays today. Rome Odunze will play despite his hip injury. The Bears have a few players out. Darnell Wright, though, he had missed, he was actually limited in practice this week, but they're saying he'll give it a go. Obviously, the offensive line is a huge concern for the Bears. You know, here's the thing. You know, the offense, they're still trying to put the pieces together. The offensive line needs to play better, no doubt about it. But the reason why the Bears have been in close games every game this year, and there's been no blowouts or any bad losses, is because the defense has kept this team competitive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The defense has limited the other team's opportunities. They've pressured opposing quarterbacks. They've forced turnovers. They have given the Bears offense every chance to go out and succeed. It's just the Bears offense just hasn't quite done it. And, you know, one of the things that really boggled my mind against the Colts last week was the Bears were taking on what was the worst run defense in the NFL at the time. The Colts' best defensive lineman was on injured reserve, and yet you threw the ball more than 50 times instead of actually, you know, using your rotation of running backs and pounding the run and trying to get some yards out of it. I also wasn't a big fan of that 2-point conversion in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know, you kick the extra point, you're only down by four. And when you consider that the defense got the ball back for the Bears, and the Bears scored again after that, the two-point conversion attempt was not necessary. And that call will always blow my mind, because they wasted a timeout to make that decision.
Yeah.
You know, you kick the extra point again, you're only down by four, and again, you get that second touchdown just as they did. You take the lead back, and and now you have, I'm trying to remember how much time, probably, I think it was around maybe the 2-minute warning or less when that happened. So,
have you been fascinated, as we have, watching what Justin Fields has been able to achieve? And granted, he's not the best quarterback in football, but it kind of answers the question, was the problem Fields or was the problem some other things? And I love seeing Fields with a team that kind of knows a whole lot about where they're at and what they should be doing. It really is kind of shining a spotlight on some of the problems with the Bears that still exist.
Justin Fields walked into a pretty good situation because he doesn't need to throw the ball as much. He has a strong running game behind him. He has a decent offensive line in front of him. And again, also has a defense that can, you know, keep the team competitive. And I've always said that with the moves that the Bears made to make the offense better, I would have really liked to see how Fields would operate in that. Again, you know, when Luke Getsy was calling the plays, you know, he tried to force Fields to be a pocket passer, you know, not using his mobility, not running the ball as much as he should have. But, you know, Fields is in a situation that suits him better than what he was here with the Bears. And I'm glad to see that he's had some success.
Yeah.
It also helps that Russell Wilson was banged up at the end of the season. And while Fields has, you know, gone 3-0 as a starter, even though it may not necessarily be because of him squarely, you know, it was a whole team effort there. But, you know, obviously he's done enough to keep the job so far. The Steelers will lose a game at some point, and when that happens, I hope that, you know, Steelers fans aren't ready to bench Fields. But,
right.
Again, you know, it's good to see that, you know, he's happened to find some success after leaving the Bears.
It looks like the Bears are favored over the Rams by 3 tomorrow. What's your call on tomorrow's game?
You know, the Rams, you know, again, you know, they haven't had the best season either, although their comeback last week against San Francisco was quite impressive. But Matthew Stafford will always keep his team, you know, in the game every week. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And but what's going to be the test is how the Rams protect him from the Bears' defense, how they protect him from the Bears' pass rush. It's going to be up to Stafford to have to dissect this defense and find some holes in it to keep the ball moving, because the Bears aren't going to show him any mercy. And I think it's going to be a close game. I won't give you a score, but I say it could be decided by just a simple field goal. That's how I see this game going.
Okay.
Can't quite give you a winner because, like I said, both teams have kinks to work out, but it should be a competitive game to watch. And, you know, both teams need to win, but obviously we want the Bears to get the win. It would certainly get them back to 500 and certainly, you know, make the next week easier to head into.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, it's all but the key to the Bears aside. I mean, we know what their defense can do. They just got to get it together on offense. That's just the bottom line.
Well, and they're also at Soldier Field. They've got to win at Soldier Field. These fans are there for you. Come on.
They're 1-0 at Soldier Field this year.
Yeah, it's just, that's really painful. But it's going to be a good one this afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Thank you, Gabe. Gabe is in all night doing the news, and we like to pick his brains about sports on this little segment we call Sports Between the Sheets. We will be right back after this on WGN.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down broom. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and
Black coffee.
On a Sunday, she's singing.
Mm-hmm.
And today is Sunday. And today is National Coffee Day. Did you know that coffee is the most popular beverage in this country, more popular than water?
Really?
Yes. Because we all walk around carrying a bottle of water.
Yeah.
Coffee is more popular. 80% of the American population drinks 1 to 3 cups of coffee a day. Now, we have 1 to 2 pots a day in our house.
Yeah.
That's just the norm, and they're 10-cup pots of coffee.
Is this country farther up the list of coffee aficionados than the rest of the
world?
From
what I read, this is the case, even though there's Starbucks all around the world, and there's coffee shops all around the world, and in other parts of the world, they have their own special kind of coffee, like coffee in Italy might be different than coffee in Greece, which is different than coffee here, but we celebrate national...
I never liked Greece in my coffee.
No, I hate that film on top of it. But butter in coffee was, for a while there, that was very big trend, putting a pat of butter in your coffee, which I never understood because it just gives you that greasy feeling on your lips and it doesn't sound very appetizing. I like my coffee black, and once a day I allow myself to have a cup of coffee that has a creamer to it, so I'm having a sweet cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things to celebrate National Coffee Day is a coffee creamer that's going to be released tomorrow. You're going to see it in your grocery stores, and it's only going to be for a week or so. It's bagel and cream cheese creamer. So it's going to be sweet.
I love bagels and cream cheese, but I'm not sure bagel and cream cheese creamer.
Out of all the possibilities, creamer? I'm like, really?
I would try that once just to see what does it taste like and then spit it out and say never again.
But it's going to be sweet, and it's going to have your cream cheese overtones, but it's going to have this bagel flavor?
Julian? No?
I'm open to that. I would try that.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound terrible. Like, there are worse things.
You worked at Starbucks, didn't you?
For 3 years,
3 years.
The worst 3 years of my life.
Oh.
It wasn't terrible.
But it was at the people when they come in with a multi, 3 pumps of this and 5 of that.
That's not even the worst I had.
Really?
Here's an order I remember down to the T.
Okay.
We had a woman would come to the drive-thru, would order 19 pumps of vanilla.
This is an Eventi coffee, right?
This is, yes, I believe so.
Oh, gosh.
And events here, the large, and don't get me started on that.
Yeah.
So she'd have 19 pumps of vanilla. When we had it, 9 to 15 pumps of pumpkin. She'd want it I think it was whole milk. No. Almond milk steamed to 200 degrees Fahrenheit. And mind you, this is like borderline boiling, so we had to steam 2 pitchers full of milk because you're boiling all that milk. It's just turning into gas.
Wow.
So she'd hold up the line because it took us several minutes to make the drink.
19 pumps?
And let me guess, she was a really regular customer.
Very regular, to the point where the other people who'd been there before I got hired, she was Little Miss VIP.
Was it like a $15 cup of coffee?
Oh, I don't remember that part. It was something like $10 at least.
Wow.
I don't think nothing went up to $15.
Whoa. See, I follow a Facebook group, which is actually a coffee group, where people are always putting up, this is what I just got at Starbucks, you've got to try it. And they'll show their cup with the sticker on the side with what they ordered. And I'm thinking, you must have diabetes. You have to. You can't put 20 pumps of sugar in that. And then, well, I like my coffee sweet. Well, yeah, just pour the sugar down your throat. I know that's coming from a person who likes her coffee black, but Wow. Starbucks is going to be celebrating today with a live stream concert featuring Sophie Tucker. Those of you of a certain age, we're not talking about that Sophie Tucker. We're talking about Sophie, S-O-F-I-T-U-K-K-E-R. And
where is the concert taking place?
You're going to be able to go to Starbucks.com, and I don't know where they're actually holding the concert, but you can listen to the live stream concert.
We haven't been to the world's largest Starbucks store on Michigan Avenue.
No.
But I want to go there. It looks so cool.
Have you been there, Julian?
Been there a couple times.
Really?
I have this really cool picture of that that big structure.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Ultra wide photo. One of my favorite photos of that
yes.
place. But it's very overrated.
Can't you get alcohol there too?
Oh yes. That I will say that is good. That is good.
Coming okay. from a barista who says, I wish I could have been drinking on the job.
Right. But you know what our favorite new coffee thing is, because we both love a good Starbucks, especially in fall. But the place at Midway Airport.
Oh, Einstein's Bagels. They make a vanilla latte.
Oh, it is not one of the best. It is the best in the world.
It is so decadent, though. It is so good. And I said, hold the whipped cream. And she just kind of chuckled, like, not like that makes a difference. Come on. It was like the best vanilla milkshake with you still got a little buzz from the coffee. I mean, it was so good. I don't know how they're celebrating, but Baskin-Robbins is going to be celebrating with a special on their Cappuccino Blast. I mentioned that there's a special for Starbucks. If you buy $50 worth of their coffee blends, which is easy to do, you get a $10 card or something to keep you coming back. Caribou Coffee is offering a free medium cold press or hot coffee of the day with either the purchase of another beverage or a purchase of coffee beans. If you happen to be, Coffee Mate was the company that's coming out with the bagel and cream cheese flavored creamer, exclusively going to be available Sunday and Monday.
And wait, did I just hear cheese flavored creamer?
Yes. Yeah. Bagel and cream cheese flavored creamer.
I want to try this.
Yeah.
Now, where is it going to be available
on
Monday and Tuesday?
But it sounds just awful to me. I don't know if I want to spend $5.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, not that I drink coffee, but if I want a creamer, I'm not going to do one that tastes like a bagel and cream cheese. I would prefer something more sweet.
But like I said before, I love bagel. I love cream cheese.
I love
cream cheese on a bagel. So I would try this just to try it once, spit it out, and say, I'll never do that again.
I mean, quite often I eat bagels and cream cheese for breakfast on a weekly
basis.
Sure,
yeah. But you don't dunk it in your coffee.
Absolutely not. And I don't even drink coffee to begin with.
Oh. I'm going to Krispy Kreme. They got a free coffee and $2 for a dozen donuts.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And Dunkin' Donuts is offering a free hot or iced medium-sized coffee with any purchase today. It's limited to one per member, and additional fees may apply. So you've got to be you have to have the app so that you can purchase it. But it's a freebie. 8 o'clock coffee. I always think of AMP when I think of 8 o'clock coffee.
And I think of waiting in line and having them grind the coffee. Coffee right
yes.
there.
Yes. Or you got to do it yourself in the grocery store.
I used to love that smell.
Oh, yeah. Now, through Sunday, customers get 15% off any purchase of $75 or more at 8oclock.com, and you've got to use the code BESTBREW. If you're a coffee drinker and you want to celebrate National Coffee Day, just look it up online. You'll find all kinds of places offering special things to celebrate the most popular beverage in this country.
I hope my wife was sleeping when you just said that.
Freebies, right?
No, National Coffee Day. She cannot function until she has her morning cup of coffee.
That's my girl. Yeah. Stay with us here on WGN.
I'm afraid of no ghosts.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Speaking of ghosts, next week, we will be telling some ghost tales from the Panhandle. We're taking the show on the road. We're going to be broadcasting from the studios of WKGC-FM at Gulf Coast State College in Panama City, Florida. And we're going to be down there for at least a week, maybe two and maybe more. We'll just see how it all plays out. But one of our guests next week, since next week it will be
October, and every Saturday night in October, we're going to do something Halloween-related. And one of our guests next week is an author from the Panhandle of Florida, Caitlin Jones, and she has a fascinating book, The Haunted Florida Panhandle. So we're going to tell about some of the legends and ghost stories and true stories that are pretty scary from the Florida Panhandle.
And to answer the question that a couple of listeners had earlier tonight, yes, indeed, we will be playing some of the last interview, to our recollection, the last interview that Chicago's ghost hunter Richard Crowe did. Mm-hmm. He used to do our show.
That won't necessarily be next week, but
in October.
In October.
Right. Richard did our show a couple of times a year for 40 years, long before, well, even more than 40 years, because before we were married, I would have Richard on my show. And
I would have him on my show. And
someone said that the audio of Richard on my show,
it's still available
on YouTube
on one of the shows on WIND. Yeah,
right. And I had Ghostbusters on my mind.
And as a matter of fact, go to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com. Do a search for Steve and Johnny Show, and on our YouTube channel, there is a section that has interviews, and there's a bunch of Richard Crowe interviews, including the one that you did at IND with Richard,
too. Oh, I didn't know that?
Yeah. Wow. You ought to check out the our YouTube channel sometime.
I was just a baby.
It's got some interesting things.
Oh, stop it.
You might like them.
I've had Ghostbusters on my mind since the start of the show, because we had Jim Peterick on, and Jim has a show coming up Wednesday night at the Des Plaines Theater. And it's his world stage show, and Ray Parker Jr.,
right,
Mr. Ghostbuster, will be on that show. He will perform Ghostbusters that night. And I got to tell you, I literally was shaken when I read. I wanted to find out, well, when was those Ghostbusters? You know, when, 40 years ago?
That's just wrong.
40 years?
It's just
1984. He was a 30-year-old singer-songwriter who really it catapulted his career and his name out there. He then became a writer for Stevie Wonder and for Tina Turner. But he's a great singer too, as you can tell with the song Ghostbusters. And that was all Ray Parker Jr. And you can see him Wednesday night at the Des Plaines Theater with the Jim Peterick World Stage Show. I still can't believe 40 years.
I know, there's just something wrong about that.
Yeah, and he was just a 30-year-old kid.
Let me see. Before we get out of here, some of the other things that we wanted to mention. Yes, we will be down in Florida next week, but also it's going to be a late start. In fact, for the next several weeks, Julian, am I correct? I think most of our shows for about the next month or so start around, oh, a lot of them are 10:30. Well, I think one or two of them is like midnight or something.
Yes, that would be correct.
I believe it is the 12th of October that we have a late start after midnight. And that's the night that we were thinking about talking to our very own keeper of the big plug, Bob Fukuda, who's going to be over in Great Britain wearing his other hat with the Bears.
So we'll get a take on the British Isles.
Yes, a scene setter from that, too.
Yes. One of the other things I wanted to mention, free COVID tests are available. And you can just you can go through the...
All I did was I went to the USPS, United States Postal Service, and right there on their opening page, it gives you the link where you can fill out your name, address, and they'll send you your free test. And if you've gone to the drugstore to buy them, the last ones I bought cost me $25. So get your free test. They're available to everyone. And I even went so far as to all my friends who don't even feel secure around computers, I just ordered for them. I just said, surprise, you're going to be getting these in the mail. Speaking of in the mail, I want to take you back to the goofy Coffee Mate bagels and cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to a listener at 630 area code who writes to say it's limited edition. It will not be available in stores. It is a free giveaway on Monday, September 30th at 11 a.m. You have to go to the Coffee Mate website, place your order while supplies last, and then in 5 to 7 weeks, you will receive it at your house. Not in stores. This seems really complicated.
So we're not going to be able to do that because we're going to be on a plane.
Yeah, because it starts at 11 o'clock in the morning and they have a limited supply. So, oh, darn, we won't be able to get our bagel and cream cheese coffee made. But thank you to the 630 area code who filled in the blanks for us. And I had not come across those specifics. They were just teasing us.
Uh-oh.
I know.
I see. The lights are starting to flash.
Yeah.
And yep.
I knew the Zamboni was going to roll tonight because I saw Bob putting his bandana on. That's when he's getting down to the serious business of, you know, working the halls.
That's a big plug, Bob, and his Zamboni. And that tells us it's time to get ready to close the joint up, at least for our show.
Yes.
So if you would like to be our last caller and receive some goodies from this very radio station, as long as you haven't won anything in the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first. You can call 312-981-7200. That number again is 312-981-7200.
You don't have to have anything important to talk about.
Or pithy.
And that's with a T-H.
That's right.
Pithy. We just want to say hey, and you can be the cherry on top of our show tonight. It was a full 5 hours.
Or you can be the cream cheese on top of our bagel. Dunked in coffee.
What? Somebody's a little bit hungry.
You think?
Yeah. The band's a little slow.
Yeah.
But somebody's a little hungry.
Oh, it was time for their break anyway.
We've been debating what we're going to have when we get home, and I have a pot of homemade chicken rice soup.
Yes, you do.
And I'm thinking, that's just not tripping my trigger tonight. It's just, no, okay. I need something decadent. I need something outrageous.
Okay, wait, what outrageous thing are you thinking?
I don't know. I may fry a chicken when I get home.
No, okay.
I may.
Can I watch?
Mash some potatoes. It'll be 5 o'clock.
This is getting better.
5 in the morning, I'll be in there
yeah.
rattling those pots and pans. give me like a half hour when I get home and I get my pajamas on. I'll be going, let's just have toast. Let's call it a night.
And binge watch on Blue Bloods.
That's right.
If you would like to be the last caller and try and straighten us out.
A listener wants
to know,
it's too
late.
Is the Zamboni operator going to Panama City with us? No, he's not. He'll be back here.
He'll be back here, manning, holding down the fort.
Yes, keeping the big plug.
Yes.
Keeping us on the radio and cleaning the halls on the Zamboni. For the abbreviated Dean Richards show today, because Hamp and OB will be in at 11
That's
o'clock.
True.
So it's going to cut him loose.
And then the final White Sox game of the season.
A listener says, story about the Sox radio announcers was great. Yeah, we have to find something good to share.
They're terrific.
Regarding the White
Sox.
Len and
DJ are two of the best.
Well, and we love Steve Stone, too.
Yeah. And so glad that Steve has signed a contract.
He
has. He's going to be with the Sox on TV for several more years. Good
he
for him.
He says he wants to end his career with the White Sox because he spent most of his life with the White Sox.
Yeah.
So more power to him. Yes. And how weird that the Sox actually made history playing the team that former announcer Jason Benetti is now the announcer for.
And
that
did you
had
see,
to be
did
so
you
strange.
See that Detroit was dousing Jason?
Yeah. That was just, well, anyway, we could go on and on about that. But last caller for tonight at 312-981-7200 coming up here on WGN.
It's that time again. We gotta say goodnight. You know it's getting late.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow is another day.
Yep.
My friend. All right, people. It's time to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay here.
No, you can't. You cannot.
And again, if you're new to the classroom, that's the closing song by Red Peters. And no, we are never going to play all of that, but you can look it up on YouTube, or you can go to our blog, and you can find that's the one place that we posted the whole version.
I like to say, if you hear the whole version on our show, you know we're not coming back.
You know you're hearing our last show.
It's our swan song. Yes.
But then again, technically,
We could,
because we are in what the FCC calls safe harbor.
Yeah.
So we could, theoretically.
Mm-hmm. But we'd rather not.
Nope.
But right now, we'd rather go to the phones, and 312-981-7200 is the number that you all have been texting. And we have a bunch of folks, and I'm going to choose not one, but number two will be the lucky number tonight.
Number two is Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. Where are you calling from?
Come on. You got me on the air?
Yes, Bill.
We got you on the air.
That's us.
Yep. Where are you calling from?
Winslow, Illinois.
Winslow?
Where is Winslow, Illinois?
It's about a half hour west of Freeport.
Really?
At the border.
I always just think of Winslow, Arizona.
Yeah.
I never think of
standing
Winslow.
On the corner.
Winslow, Arizona.
Yeah.
Such a fine sight to see. Why are you up at this hour?
Well, I'm a weird type of person. I don't take too much sleep during the night. I'm generally up till 12, 1 every night, and then I'm up about 5 to 6 in the morning.
Wow. So you get by with about 5 or 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Would you?
I got that way when I was in the military. I did watch standing, and you sort of had to.
Yeah, yeah. What do you do for a living?
Right now, I'm a retired electrician.
Oh, good. And then, even though you're retired, the family always says, oh, Bill knows how to fix it. Call him.
Yeah.
He can do it, right?
Oh, my kids do all the time.
Yeah, well, I'd call you, too, if I had your number.
Electricians are... most electricians we've run into could pretty much write their own ticket because it's so hard to find an electrician.
Yes. In fact, can I just bellyache for a moment, Bill? I've called 3 electricians, and all 3 of them have told me that my job is too small. I'm like, really? It's too small? I do need a light changed. Too small. I can't. Okay, I'll go to the next guy. And they all say the same thing. It's too small.
And this is literally, it needs to be rewired, and, and a lot of things need to be taken care of.
And I say, I have real money. I'll pay you.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's too small.
Yeah. And
well, I used to do that for family and friends all the time.
I'm sure.
We found that same attitude in Florida and in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where it is.
Yeah, we needed a ceiling fan put up. It couldn't get anybody to come do it. So you know what happens is you end up calling a handyman and hope that they know how to do
hope
the
that
right,
the house doesn't catch on fire.
They know the right wires to clip, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, what's on your agenda for Sunday? You going to watch the Bears game?
Well, I've still been remodeling my retirement home.
Oh,
really?
When I retired, we gutted our house, and I've been slowly, room by room, redoing everything.
Wow.
I grew up in a construction family, so
yeah.
I do just about everything. And I'm also a perfectionist, so it's my house, and I want to be able to walk down the hallway and look at all my joints and my woodwork. And
good for you.
Good for you. Well, what's the most unique thing that you are putting into your house?
Something I'm like a lot. This is the second one I've done. I had one in my previous house, a coffee nook.
Oh, I love a coffee nook.
My man. Yes.
And this is National Coffee Day.
I was listening. That is great. Yeah. I'm a coffeeholic. I drink coffee 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we do too. I mean, we'll actually go home and have coffee at 3 o'clock in the morning and still be able to, you know, catch a nap.
Yeah. A coffee nook.
So, I have a coffee mug sitting at my bedside.
Do you really?
So your coffee nook is going to be in the kitchen, I assume. And how big is it going to be? How many people are going to be able to fit into your coffee nook?
Well, no, the coffee nook as such is to brew the coffee and store all the different blends.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a coffee station.
A coffee maker.
Coffee station.
Okay, coffee station.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Yes, because I've got a small area in our kitchen. I call that my coffee station. And I've got the espresso machine next to the coffee machine. And then it gives me great joy when I can just look and see everything organized there. And and I don't like that.
We've got.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we got a. It's like about a 40-inch wide double cabinet.
Nice.
Drawers and stuff below. So my wife has her tea on one half, and I've got all the coffee on the other half.
Very nice.
We have fun.
Well, and that's the kind of thing, too. If you have to put it in your house yourself. If I'm building houses these days, I'm putting in a coffee nook. I really am, because they're so popular. And if you don't use it, you turn it into a bar. Turn it into something else if it's you know, if it's not your thing.
If I was building a house, I would put in those really nice bookshelves. They're like little...
built-in bookshelves?
Built-in bookshelves. Yeah. I love that.
And that's kind of a thing of the past, isn't it, Bill? The built-in bookshelves?
Yes and no. I have actually, down in my computer area, when I get that going, that's sort of far down on my list, unfortunately. I'm going to have a computer area with bookshelves just for my computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And hopefully I'm going to have my library down in the basement in the same computer area, and I've got probably about 300 paperbacks from way back when.
Wow.
And whatnot that I would love to reread.
I like...
I'd put them up on shelves.
Yeah, I like your plan. I like your idea, too. And it's going to be your house, and so you can enjoy it. And you're going to be wearing a WGN Radio logo T-shirt from us, and you're going to get your very own desktop weather station from American Weather Makers Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. And, Bill, thanks a million for checking in from Winslow tonight.
And we want to see a picture of you in that WGN shirt. Next week, as we said, we're going to be coming on the air a little later, probably around, I think, 10-ish, 10:30, something like that. And we're going to be broadcasting from WKGC down in Panama City, Florida. And we're going to take you all down there with us. We're going to be talking about ghostly things, too. Thank you for hanging out with us. Julian, thank you. And that's it. Are we running out of words?
We've run out of words.
Okay, then talk to you next week.